We are Brightside, home of the
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds,
the scenes. Why did you go falsetto for John? He's going to be
I don't know. I was like, the sounds. I don't know. Actually, what I was doing at the time, I was looking down at my sounders and I'm like, I never added that. That's all I got to do is go, the sounds, and I'd have him, so. I just keep forgetting. So how are we doing this week?
Yeah, good. Excited to chat about some very cool home cinema stuff tonight.
Yeah, we're going to get the cool stuff out of the way. Then we're going to bring John in a little while.
Cool. Well, the cat's away,
I hope he's
play.
Listening. No. Yeah.
He's sharpening his knives.
Yeah, no. John's my boy. He knows. He'd say the same thing to me. Yeah, he's a little delayed, so he'll be joining us in a little bit. So we're going to do some of the updates on next week's drawing. Next week we are raffling off the SVS Prime wireless speakers, and so that's going really well. A lot of people sending in the code word. And also, for the code word, I think it's only fair. You should have to go and listen to the podcast for it. Code word, I'll even give you a hint. The code word's at the end. I'll give you a hint. If you don't want to listen to the great story, fantastic story of Roseanne Sedoya and her husband, Mike, and Boston Marathon bombing survivor, if you don't want to listen to it, you can just get the code word. But from everybody I've talked to and all the messages I've got, I got a couple in here. Most of the messages from people were fairly personal, fairly thank you very much, that was an amazing. Lots of, you know what I was surprised by? This is a home theater podcast. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but it's a home theater podcast.
I had heard.
Yeah, it's been floating around. I was, like I said, I'm like, man, can I do this? Can I not do this? But I didn't really hesitate because of the listeners, and most of the replies were your best podcast ever. I don't know if that's as much of a compliment to Roseanne.
Yeah, it's sort of damning with faint praise, isn't it, really?
Right. I'm like, kind of would have preferred a couple of really love home theater, but what a story. No, it's my favorite one ever. I mean, really, because we do this all day long, and I'm happy I did this because I met guys like you, Steve, became friends with all of you people and everything, and that's the great part. But then on top of that, it's like to be able to have that story and do it. I put the word out. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of common listeners of HT guys and AV Rant. So I told them about it, and they tweeted, they talked about it in their shows. But I also mentioned it to Rich Keefe, who does hashtag dork. He's a local radio talk show host here, Rich is. And I did his theater, helped him with his Dragon's Lair, that's what he calls it, coolest name for a theater. And I asked him, and he's one of those, like I told you when I had him on the podcast, I get wicked nervous, and I'm like, and I don't like to bother people, as I've told you before. And I was like, do I text him, do I not text him, do I text him, do I bother him, do I? I'm like, all right, I just told him, I go, hey, we're all about, I said, I never ask you for this, but can you just mention it? And he's like, absolutely. And he was great. And then him and Ryan did a great little thing on it for it, so it was pretty cool. But yeah, if the idea of this is to get people to donate, so if you put your donation in and send me the receipt, you email it dj@brightsidehometheater.com, send me the receipt, as many people have already, you'll get a chance to win the SVS Prime wireless speakers, or you can go to the podcast and just get the code word, and that's free. Give me the code word and you get an entry that way. But
the $900 SVS.
Yeah, I know.
I bury the lead.
I know. I, well, you know me. That's what John's here for. I'm not here for the money. I'm here to talk, be stupid, lower the bar so you guys look fantastic. And then on top of that, and then John's here to level me out a little bit, right? And, you know, bring a opposite perspective, slap me down a bit. And then we have you for our legal troubles.
Well, that's a yes, out of trouble, yeah.
And then we have you for reality.
Yeah, when I'm not digging chat members out of trouble.
But here's the thing. We also have this coming up. We have another runner-up prize from, am I doing this right? I'll put up, he says, hi DJ, Western Mass, checking in here. I'm late to the party, but if you want to offer consolation prizes for your listeners, I'll put up a calibrated a calibrated U-Mic 1, U-Mic 2, although there may be a wait for that one, or a Galaxy CM140 sound meter. I asked him, I said, that sounds great. Thank you so much. Which of the three would you like to offer, or does the winner get a choice? And he said, winner's choice. So that's, I didn't grab like a dummy. I don't have the name handy. I just have the image of it. There it is. So that's on Twitter. It's am I doing this right? ? So I do have his name. At Anechoic. Get it? See? Anechoic. Mm-hmm. So he set that up. He's offering that up. So next week, there'll be two drawings. There'll be a drawing for the speakers, and then there'll be a drawing for the choice of a calibrated U-Mic 1, a U-Mic 2, or a Galaxy CM140 sound meter. You can pick, the winner will get to pick one of those. So more reasons to enter the drawing. And either way, you can enter the drawing either way. So thank you. Am I doing this right? Sounds funny, but that's his name. So, I failed to mention this last week. We have no more 5-star reviews. 2 weeks in a row. I know. They must all be coming from over there on your side where people must be just, I don't know, because I'm not seeing them. Because we're not seeing them over here, Steve. I got things at my feet here. Let's see. Did you get to hear today's Takeover Tuesday at all?
No, I haven't yet. Which it's been flat stick today with clients.
Oh, I know.
Back to back. But no, so I will do. I thought this one was Brock's. I thought John Brock was this one.
No. How did you know? What? No.
You tweeted it out over the weekend. Didn't you say it was going to be this Tuesday's?
No.
Or did I misread it? No. I might have misread it.
No. We were tweeting about Brock's theater this weekend.
I thought he was doing a takeover.
He's Tuesday, coming up in a couple of weeks, week. Yeah.
Future Steve said to me.
Big time future Steve, because I hadn't even told you that. We didn't even talk about that off air before we got on.
No.
Look at you. But no, this week's Takeover Tuesday was my buddy Joe. Third appearance, had a great time. He came prepared. He had his list. He knew what he wanted. I mean, everything. We had a great time talking home theater, really getting back to the foundation of the podcast after last week with Roseanne, then this week with Joe, and just like really getting into some good nitty gritty fun stuff, old timey talk, stuff like that. So had a lot of fun with that. But he also has, this month's charity that we're doing for May. So I know we're still talking about, you know, Roseanne's because of the SVS speakers, but this month of May, we are doing Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And here's what Joe has offered. He will match whatever Brightside Home Theater donates. So once again, I said, well, then I'm going to put your money where your mouth is, because I'm going to offer up 100% of everything we do. So instead of the 50%, we're just going to give it all this month, and we're going to give it to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. So The links are in the show notes, all of that stuff. So, but if you donate a box of popcorn, you donate, you know, your Patreon supporter, whatever, we could use a few more of those too, for this, for the charity stuff, because I'm having fun giving away our money. And the more we give, I feel so much, but it's so much fun. This is why John's not here. he actually has to stay at work to make the money because he's not getting anything here, but, because I keep giving it away, but yeah, no, I'm having so much fun with these charities and doing this stuff. And it, you know, I think it's a lot of fun, and it's putting, you know, we're literally in the sandbox here playing with disposable money, putting them in into our theater. So if we can put a little bit into something else, that'd be pretty cool. So
yeah, it's awesome. It's very cool. It's very, very cool.
Yeah. Joe's son was diagnosed when he was 7. So it's near and dear to him, of course. Mm. So, but that's all in the podcast and stuff. But yeah, so juvenile JDRF, I guess is what they call it, but Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Easy for me to say. So, yeah. No, so that will be for May, and he will match, and we'll be talking more about that later. We're going to be doing the drawing for the sofa baton for last month. A little later in the show, I'm going to need the listeners' help with that, or I should say the chat's help. People in the chat will when we get there, I'll be asking for the numbers of the winners, so, or the winner, and we'll go from there. So pay attention. Be on your toes, people. And we have a great, fantastic tweak of the week this week. Cannot wait to get to that. Cannot wait to hear about, you know, just what it takes to get your theater just running right. You know, just that little extra tweak. It's fantastic. So, but until then, why don't we get started? You want to get started with listener comments?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
All righty. There's that one star. It's like listening to Pink Try and Dolby Digital. I love that. Yeah, leave me a one star and tell me something bad I'm doing. I don't care. Post it. Steve's like, hey, interaction is interaction. All right. Here we go. First up, Dominic Goggin.
Gone. Yeah, I'm not sure. I have asked him how I pronounce it.
I love this question. I grabbed this right away off Twitter. I was like, we have to talk about that because I love talking about it all the time. And we don't talk about it all the time. We don't need to, but it is a good question to bring up as often as people need it answered. So Dominic asks, I don't watch movies on my phone, but what do you guys think about buying DVDs? If you can't always afford Blu-ray or 4K all the time, is it okay to still pick up secondhand DVDs to add to your collection for a good price? We answered it on Twitter. Steve, why don't you go first? Because
yeah,
mine tends to be long-winded.
Yeah, Dominic is a friend of the show, by the way, mm-hmm. in as much as he's always tweeting, he's always mm-hmm. Retweeting and liking our stuff. He's the chap, by the way, whose dad was in The Lighthouse. When I was talking about The Lighthouse a few weeks ago, Dominic, I think, is a firefighter in Ireland, and his dad was on The Lighthouse, and he was telling me all these amazing stories about his dad's time on there. That's fascinating. So, yeah, friend of the show, really nice guy, and really supportive with everything that we do and we're doing. So to answer the question, I mean, when he says, is it okay? Of course it's okay. Like, you need permission from anybody else. Of course you do not. This is about what you enjoy, what you can afford, what you've got access to. And you know, I mean, he says, I don't watch movies on my phone. I mean, who would do such a thing?
I know.
I mean, just shocking. but certainly, you know, if DVDs is what you can afford and that's how you get your home theater fix or movie fix or enjoyment fix, whatever you want to call it, then go for it. Of course. 100%. And look, DVDs are still massively outselling Blu-rays and 4K Blu-rays. So you're in very good company if that's what you're doing. You know, why not? Is my view. I think the only thing I would say, and I suppose, is that it's always risky because of the whether the discs are, you know, scratched to hell and that kind of thing. That's what would worry me. But I think as long as they're in good condition, then, and that's how you build your collection, then do it. Go for it. Of course. That's my view.
Yeah. And it's enjoy whatever you can. And as long as you're enjoying it. Right. Yeah. And where we started out, it's was far below DVD and way below. DVD is still, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, DVD is still a decent quality. And if you're enjoying it, then enjoy it. And one of the things that I really, when I recommend to people when they're starting out, and it's funny, I was just saying this to my son-in-law a couple of weeks ago. He's super excited about starting his collection, and he wants to buy a bunch of Blu-rays, and he wants to get all the old shows that he used to watch. And my daughter's sitting there, you know, she's the new wife, he's the new husband, and she's trying to rein him in, and he's trying to spend money like me. So, I mean, he's totally me. And she's like, but do we need all that? And I'm just doing like, I'm putting joint compound on the walls, right? And I was like, and I heard them talking, and I turned around, and I go, oh, you asked me this during the week. He had texted me about it. And I go, let me tell you that. And I go, stay with streaming. I go, that's what I tell everybody to do. And he goes, but what about this? And he goes, I know I'll have these, and I'll have them forever. And I'm like, you're 23 years old, 24 now. He just turned 24. I'm like, you're 24 years old. I go, you know where my stuff is when I was 24 years old? I go, I threw it out by now. I said, you're not going to have these things that you're buying today forever. I go, and whatever you buy, I go, just get it on streaming. Just do it on streaming. You don't even know. He goes, but what about the quality? And I'm in his living room. I go, you don't have the system to notice the difference between a stream and a Blu-ray yet. You just don't. And he has an OLED, but I mean, he doesn't have the knowledge either. I go, and that's the fun thing is start out, enjoy the stuff. And when you don't enjoy it anymore, then upgrade, then look into, you know, if you can afford, you know, cause that's what'll happen. You'll be like, I got to like John or me, you get a little extra money and you're like, what can I buy now? And you'll be like, oh, and you start to see issues and you'll be like, oh, I'll upgrade this or my collection or whatever. And if you're enjoying DVDs, enjoy them until you don't enjoy them anymore, but don't let anybody tell you that you, oh, that's not good enough, because you'll go buy whatever's better and you won't even know why. Yeah, honestly, it's like this. So I just enjoy the hobby, enjoy the content, enjoy what you can. And as long as you're enjoying it, don't worry about what anybody else says, including me. So I always include myself in that, because you know, we're just one person's opinion. If you trust it, you trust it. If you don't, you know, listen to everybody and believe no one. Believe yourself. All right. All right. What else do we have here? I got to get the logo back up. All right. It's next one. You want to take that one, Steve?
Yep. Okay. All righty. So this one is Blue Wave commenting on last week's Cocaine Bear home theater experience. Blue Wave says, I have to check Ghosted. That sounds like a fun movie. The Diplomat has been surprisingly good. And if you guys haven't had a chance yet, a great home theater experience is The Citadel over at Amazon Prime. Very good home theater experience. The opening train scene was fantastic in episode one. More about this later, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Both of them. Actually, I talked about talked about The Diplomat last week. That's not really a home theater experience, but it is fantastic. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't. I was looking at the picture that you put up last week. So it's the British Prime Minister. Is it stuff over here?
It's okay. That's so what it is. The Diplomat is Kerry Russell, and she's playing an American diplomat. I don't want to spoil it for you. Mm-hmm. But she is sent over here, over to England to be the ambassador. Okay, but she's not at the opening of the show, she's not the ambassador. So the opening of the show is like, we want you to be the ambassador. She's like, I'm not an ambassador. So it's a fish out of water type thing. She doesn't want to do it. It's not like she's never done anything like this. And that's what gets fun. But I want to just have like, even just personal conversations with you, Steve, on like, because it's the two countries talking. It's it's like real world issues going on that are thrown in here. It's fantastic. I'm like glued to it. It's like you can binge this, and I don't. I'm gonna watch it later tonight when we're done. I can't wait, and I save one a day. I look forward to it every single day. It's so good.
Okay. Oh,
wow. Yeah. It's
you guys. You certainly piqued my interest last week about it, but there's so much I'm trying to catch up with at the moment.
Oh yeah.
But I do. Yeah, I do want to see.
Aren't it. Does we look all?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, I still haven't watched House of the Dragon yet. So, you know, that's how far back I'm going.
That's out on disc.
Yes, well, quite. Yeah. It's out on sort of tablets, stone thing, I think, you know. Moses brought it down from the top of
Mount
Sinai. And I still haven't watched it. So, yeah, no, I know. I've got a friend that keeps giving me grief about it and saying, you've got to watch it, got to watch it.
It is. It's good. It's good. Yeah, really good. I wouldn't say it's as good as Game of Thrones, but it's because it hasn't gotten there yet. It's just the first season. But the backstory has a lot of flavor to it from that. But then, you know, the visuals, the audio, all the fun stuff we like is fantastic. Yeah. I love it, especially on the physical media. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get to it. So eventually.
So see that people ask a question about one thing and we just keep on going.
Keep on
all trucking. Right. Keep on trucking. All right. You want to start in on this one? Can you see that?
Yeah. I've got it. Okay. So from VJ?
Yes.
Got to be an email at that length, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is show 275 is the title. And it says, hi, DJ. It says, great show again, as always. Keep up the good work. It says, I wanted to bring up your comment about Odyssey multi-EQ -X. And calibrating a speaker or group of speakers versus calibrating all the speakers again. As far as your volume difference for the center speaker, not sure what it could be. Maybe the microphone was in a different location, or maybe the microphone is having issues, etc. I can assure you, when Odyssey measures a speaker per Odyssey, it's not accounting for any other speakers in the system. It's applying correction to that one and only speaker. You do allude to this when you're commenting on reference level at 35 minutes into the show. You say, quote, it just does one speaker at a time, end quote. And this is right because it measures that speaker and applies correction to that speaker. It never pings all channels at once to get a measurement of the speakers together. I doubt Odyssey would allow the option to remeasure one speaker if it would cause an issue and have worse results. I've attached some screenshots from the software and it shows the readings from each speaker and says here's a good article that goes into some of the benefits of using this versus the onboard Odyssey. I'm sure you have a huge waiting list, but if you ever need someone for Takeover Tuesday, I'll be happy to chat with you again. And says, thanks again, DJ. Take care, VJ. So that's to DJ from VJ.
And he'll never be on the show again. can't correct me. No, he's right. But that, when I was saying, like, yes, I said the 6.5, I'm spitballing. I'm saying, like, is it possible? Because they do, what I mean by they all work together, it's when you're playing content, they all work in conjunction with each other. Okay. So it's like, this is what how everything works in your room to get sounds to move. They all have to work together. When you're calibrating it, they take it, okay, for this speaker to play at this and for you to get this in your room. I was spitballing and I clearly didn't make it clear that I'm not saying that's fact, but what I mean by it is, so like, how come that's the only one on Odyssey that you can actually adjust? And then after VJ sent this, I was like, oh, it's probably because some people like to adjust the, you know, for the volume of the dialogue, right? So like when I go into my Odyssey app, it's the only one you get direct access to. Everything else is just, you can adjust them if you want, but you have to actually go deeper into the app. So that's just the one that I happened to notice. And when he said, you know, maybe the mic was in a different spot, it's like, I hadn't experienced that before. So I've done a lot of just like, okay, like once a month, every other month or whatever, I'm doing it. And it's usually, I knew my NHTs were dead on at five. And it was just always five. And I had run Odyssey on the SVSs twice before this, and it both came up at seven. Sorry. And then this one was at 6.5. So I'm like, what could that be? I'm like, why? The only thing different in the system, and this is what we do, right? When we're looking at our systems and you're a DIYer and something's different, something's wrong. This, you have to think of variables in the chain. What could have been different? And that's what I was trying to express last week. And with VJ's email, I'm like, yeah, that's probably wrong. You know, I'm probably wrong on that, because he's right. They're only doing that one speaker. So to get that speaker to play at reference level, this is what it's going to take. And then it's everything in combination. When you hear it, that's reference level in your room. And then that's where I was talking about, they all work together, or along with your room treatments in your room and stuff like that. So you can keep going down the rabbit hole and get deeper and deeper. But yeah, that's why that's what I love about this podcast. I've been, like I said, people ask me all the time. It's like, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I've been doing this for years, long, many, 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 many years before I had a podcast. This is what I do. And I'd spitball. But now I have a place to come and spitball my nonsense, and people come back and go, no, that's not exactly right. So sometimes I'm right. Sometimes, but it's a variable, and I was just, you know, whatever. But it is, I mean, the fact remains, what I was talking about is, when you calibrate your room, it does one speaker at a time. And like VJ said, only that one gets set to reference level. Then the next one, then the next one. And then when you play it all together, it's going to be really loud if you don't have the proper room treatments, because that's, you know, fill in number of speakers playing at reference level. That's loud. So,
yeah, it is. Deej, our favorite UPS bothering comic store owner is waiting in the wings.
I was hoping you kept that quiet. What's up, buddy?
He is. Hey.
Hey. Hey, I didn't see you there while I was chatting away.
I can see that.
How long were you there?
About 5 minutes.
Oh.
During that whole chat you just had.
So you heard it. You just didn't, we couldn't see you rolling your eyes at me.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to you, to be honest with you. I was trying to get into the show.
I was speculating, John, that maybe you were waiting till after the drawing later to try and get yourself in the sweepstakes.
That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So. Thanks, VJ. Appreciate that. And as always, like I said, you know, I'm wrong. Let me know. I'm right. Let me know that too, because it'll balance out.
And there's just a little bit of chat in the chat about speakers all matching. See, I don't think I said anything last week about when you were talking about that. I mean, I was always led to believe the speakers should match as well, ideally. You know, all from the same manufacturer, and they're all balanced and meant to run together. And that's kind of what I've tried to do for my last few cinema rooms. And the one I've got now, they're all, you know, the same manufacturer, same size and everything like that as well.
Yeah.
So that was always kind of what I had been led to believe. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I'm sure you can mix and match if you need to. And again, needs must.
Yeah.
But I think aesthetically, if nothing else, at least they all look the same. So unless you've got the behind speaker cloth and you've got them out the way, or
right.
You don't care, then that's right. Fine. But I like it. You know me by now. It's all gotta have a uniform look, or else I just start to itch.
Well, and like I said, now Carl says, he goes, this is just another reason why I always just have the pro calibrators do all the work. And that, I mean, that's the way to go if you can. You know, not a lot of people have that capability. And it, you know, whether it's can't find one, which a lot of people have problems finding a video calibrator, right? He happens to live in a city where there's lots of people, and he has 2K download speeds, which he loves to tell me about. He has all of this stuff, but he doesn't understand there's a whole world out there that, like, the next person's 2 miles away. He forgets that. But yeah, a lot of people, it's hard to find a calibrator of audio or video. But when you can get one to come out, that answers all your questions, right? You get them to come out, you know, it's right, or you have to assume it, and then that's it. Or you get a crappy one. That's a possibility too. So, I've had them come out, and at the end of the day with, you know, like John and I, we've been doing this a long, long time. It's like with all of our history, when you finally get one to come out, you go, sounds the same as what I did. It is the same. All right. And that's not bad on them. It means, you know, my 20 years of putzing around paid off and it's working. Vancool had one here. So he had, I use Odyssey, but use an SPL meter to see if the calibration works. I do the same thing. It's like, you know, we all do fun stuff like that. This one here, Vangul as well. After hearing DJ, I want to upgrade my speakers to all match. And after I said that last week, one of the things is it's not it, like, I know Steve, you like the aesthetics, but it's also, it helps you answer the, you know, do they match question? Like at the end of the day, it's like, if you know, they're all the same company, they're all in the same brand price level for, you know, comparable for each other, then you know they're all going to be voice matched as close as you can possibly get. Right. And that's, whereas if you go with another brand, maybe you'll be like, maybe it's not exact. You always just have that little bit of doubt. It's like, well, people have told me they're pretty close. Yeah. But if it's the same brand, isn't it pretty much a guarantee? And that's what we're looking for. I mean, we're trying to take our systems and remove as much doubt as possible. And at our level, it's always going to be quite a bit. So any bit we can get rid of, you know, it just helps us enjoy the content better. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yours are all matched, don't you, John? Yours are all the same, aren't they?
Yep.
They do, except for my four Atmos speakers. They're
same here. Yeah.
Yeah. They're different. Yeah, but yes, otherwise,
mine are too, to be fair.
Even though I'm not necessarily arguing the counterpoint last week. I agree that, I mean, I want all mine to match as well. I'm just not 100% sure that it is like definitely necessary. You know, I think if your front stage matches and then your four surrounds match each other, and, you know, I think you can still get some pretty decent results. But
all
that being said, I mean, I'm in the same camp as you guys. I mean, I bought matching speakers for mine too. And, you know.
Right. It's just like we were talking about before, like DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, get what you can get. And I mean, if you actually found surround speakers that you like better, then that's fine. Well, get what you like. But it's like, do they have to match? No. But here are the positives to doing it. That's all I'm pointing out, right? The negatives to not doing it are potentially they're not voice matched. And that's what we're going for. Can you still get voice matched and not be the same brand? Absolutely. A little harder, but you can do it. So that's all. And I'm just trying to remove the doubt. So, all right. We ready to get to the next one?
Sure.
Because we're going there. Can you guys read that?
Yes.
I can
just about.
It's a little small for me, but I can go to
I can see two words on there. I wish I couldn't read, Deej.
Fifth element. I got them right here. I've read them. So right. It's Theo. Theo was on a roll last week. So I just combined the three of them, dropped them right in here. He's like, I love the Fifth Element. Nuff said. No, I love the Fifth Element. Great surround sound, funny, good action, scenes and good.
Sci-fi fun.
Yeah. And the next one he says, Wanted to me is a great, fun action movie. This is a good home theater experience. He's just going hard at Steve. Never say never. Star Wars, the original, is the best way to watch for me. I agree with John. So, so there you go.
I'm just going to just quickly block him on Twitter.
All hard against Steve there.
Yeah.
All right.
Shade being thrown.
Yeah.
That's funny. That was great.
As I said, Fifth Element should be illegal. Wanted was a good action film. I just heard that. Yeah. And then Star Wars is great. I'm curious to see them, but I still think that you're never going to get the originals as we remember them from as kids. So therefore, why not have the special editions? I tell you what, guys. What about a choose your own adventure version of Star Wars.
There you go.
So you could get like sort of three sort of things up on the screen. You could have original trilogy, special edition, or kind of, you know, half-assed version, and you just press the button as you go.
I'm okay with that.
You could have whatever, yeah, just do that. Just keep pressing.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have that. That's it. We can all agree.
Half-assed
version. Yeah.
Can we get the promo for that to have the English accent as well? Or get the half-assed version. What the hell was that?
Because there was a special edition before there were the special
edition. I want the full-assed version.
Yeah, complete ass. I'm always careful with certain words, and that's one I'm normally careful with, and I said it before I realized I said it. Because you had the original trilogy, then you had the on VHS here, we had special widescreen editions, and then of course the 1997 special edition. So there's all these different ones knocking around.
Yeah,
seamless branching and buttons to choose. I reckon that's the way forward. We could all do that.
I can do that.
Press one now to not have stupid musical number in Return of the Jedi. Press two to watch Ewoks blink.
I didn't like the Ewoks then.
I
didn't like them when they first came out. But that's because I was just at that age where, like, I don't need cuddly stuff anymore. I was becoming a man. I was 13. Yeah.
Who needs teddy bears?
That's men's territory.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't need this. And I wasn't so offended with Zsa Zsa because I had grown up and realized, oh, this is all just for kids.
So. Oh, Jar Jar was all right. He wasn't.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It didn't bother me.
The hate he got was just crap, wasn't it? It was absolutely unnecessary.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought so.
But that's me. I hate, you know, I don't hate. I dislike anybody that dislikes things. You're supposed to like everything like me.
Right. Yeah, I hate you because you don't like everything.
Right.
Yeah. I dislike people that dislike things. So you dislike yourself? Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm disliking that comment.
Yeah. So. Let's see. John, you want to read that one?
Sure. Sydney Smith comment on home theater experience Cocaine Bear. Hey fellas, True Lies is free on Apple TV Plus. Unfortunately not in 4K, but looks like it's grain free and oddly I'm digging it. Kinda has that Terminator 2 look.
Hmm. Yeah. We've got it on Disney Plus over here in HD. But I prefer, I only had a quick look at it, but I prefer the Spanish Blu-ray that I've got of that. But, you know, it's better than the DVDs, non-anamorphic DVD that's out. So, you know, however you can get it, I suppose. Is it free on Apple TV Plus or have you got to pay?
They just try to.
As long as you have Apple TV Plus.
It's basically, it's the same thing that was on Hulu.
Right.
It was on Hulu before and I had watched it. We had talked about it in the podcast before. Somebody had sent us, you know, alerted us a while back when it was on Hulu, and I actually ended up watching the whole thing then, and it was pretty good. Yeah, it was a decent stream that you were like, wow, this is, you know, it was HD quality. It was above DVD, of course. It's not 4K, and the sound wasn't fantastic, but it, you know, it's the best that we have right now. And I think they for right now, they just moved it right over to Apple TV for some reason. I don't know why, but I thought it would have gone to like Disney Plus or something because isn't Hulu and Disney are together, but it's on Apple TV right now.
And as I say, we have it on Disney Plus here. Yeah, here it's on Disney Plus. So you'd think that they would have just done that there, but Oh, okay.
Yeah, it seems like the same stream. I didn't even, somebody else had mentioned this to me a little while before this one, and I went and looked, and I'm like, I didn't even notice. I didn't do a deep dive on it, but I didn't notice if maybe Apple was up in the bit rate because they tend to do that with their stuff. They put their stuff out typically at a higher bit rate for their Apple TV products, so it looks better. But I didn't notice any difference. It just looked the same to me. So
yeah,
but And I typically don't get into those bit rates. I see other people talking about it. I'm like, oh, okay. And all of Apple TV's content looks fantastic. So yeah, it does. I'm like, you know. All right. What do we got next? Mr. Motown, take that.
Same thing.
Steve.
says the same thing as the last one.
Oh, I meant to take that. Oh, there we go.
Okay, so this is from Van Gool, who was in the chat. So this is, again, is a comment after last week's home theater experience, Cocaine Bear, and says as follows. Just heard the podcast because I was busy Tuesday for the live show. You touched on rear speakers in the tweak of the week. I saw a pair on Facebook Marketplace to match my fronts. Oh, there we go. I was wondering if I should buy to have all matching. Good podcast. There we go. Future DJ John and Steve have already covered this.
Yep. So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So, all right. So we can cook along on that one. Next up. So this is, talking about, this is one of the ones that I was talking about. I got a lot of messages and, I wanted to put this in. Garinda, great guy, was on a Takeover Tuesday and, people were saying they forgot what McClunky, you know, they'd forgotten about that. They didn't, you know, but they knew when they heard it. And the other one was a lot of people were sending me the McClunky code, right? I'm sorry if this isn't spelled right. And then they'd spell it again and then spell it again. All I want to know is you heard it, people.
I don't know how to spell it myself. So I don't
sorry,
know.
You were this close to getting the sofa baton, but you would have had it if you just spelt a word that's never actually been spelled anywhere.
No, it has because
he has subtitles.
Greedo says
Greedo oh, really? Greedo I've never looked at that. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it's just MC.
Are you sure he has subtitles on that?
Yeah.
Like permanent?
I think so.
Forced? I don't think I've ever seen. I just hear it. You hear him go.
Because when he speaks, he's always subtitled because everything he says is in Rhodian.
Right. But you don't need it subtitled because it actually is said McClunky. Like he's.
Yeah. I think it is, though. I have to go back and double.
I don't remember seeing it. I only remember hearing it. And you're like, did he just say McClunky? Like, what the hell is that?
It is weird, isn't it?
But yeah, and then, you know, I got this comment a lot too. Do a yearly podcast with Roseanne and Mike. So, yeah, Roseanne actually was considering doing a podcast a while ago. She called me just on gear and stuff she'd need. And, but I don't know if she, obviously I don't think she went anywhere with that, but she like me, she loves to talk. So, she would definitely come back. So, but yes, thank you to everybody for all of the replies, all of the responses, all of the code words spelled correctly or not. I really appreciate that. So, all right, next one.
Just to answer that question, because I've just found it on Disney Plus on the iPad.
There you go.
It just says McClunky. It doesn't say it in the subtitles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought, do you know what, John? I seem to remember that it came up in subtitles, but clearly not because I've just watched
it. Yeah, I
guess
not. But yeah,
I was going to say maybe if you have subtitles on, it would.
I know. I don't remember, though.
Yeah. You want me to take this?
Yeah, go on then.
Sure.
All right. Quantum Mania. With the wife away for the week, I had a chance to do some tweaking of my system. After running Odyssey on my Denon 4700, I spent the time with the spatial audio calibration toolkit and specifically worked on level matching at 75 dB and updating the speaker distances to fix the internal delay calced wrong by Denon. Level matching requires a radial change to the levels of my dual SVS PB2000 Pros, among other changes. Later that day, my son and I watched Ant-Man Quantumania stream, and have to say I was blown away by the audio track and can't wait for the 4K disc to really let this fly. Since I'm watching on a 77-inch OLED, I'm not sure I'm as critical about the video as compared to Kaleidoscape. It was certainly good enough for me, but the audio, even at Dolby Digital Plus, was a treat. Later that day, my son and I watched... Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. The movie certainly doesn't make my Marvel top 10, but there were some fun parts, and I guess it's the way it's the way to the next phase of the MCU. Steve at Steven at. So, Very interesting here. Before we get to the tweaking part, a 77 inch OLED that's a great display. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
No.
I'm like it. No. I would think you would see a difference on the video, from the stream to the disc. probably not. There's very little difference between the disc and Kaleidoscape. So you're probably right there, but from the video, but the audio is always, it's a huge difference going from streaming to the physical disc. You're going to be blown away. And if you were blown away with this, and I heard it's flat compared to what you're going to be getting on the disc. It's so much more dynamic. It really, you're going to have a lot of fun with that. The tweaks, John, did you start to get itchy reading about all that stuff like we used to do?
Not really, but
the measurements and measuring the speaker distances and measuring all that stuff and doing an SPL meter on each speaker, isolating each speaker, doing that, running the tape measure, doing the whole thing.
I don't miss it.
I don't miss it at all. No. I mean it like it's like a horror show. Like I just remember doing it, and like you feel better after doing it. But when it's like, and that's why I think if you've never done it, you definitely need. I'm not telling people don't do it, but I think after a while, what I've found is that like I don't even check what Odyssey says. I don't check them because I did when I first got it and went, oh my God, these are all wrong. Then I went and reset them and I was like, did I screw it up? Did I make it better? I don't know. I don't hear anything different. I don't know. Do you change your distance settings or anything, John?
No. I did change levels when I did the, when I had the mini DSP calibrated. Mm-hmm. We went through and we did all that. But before that, I really just kind of left it at what Odyssey told me it was. You know?
Yeah.
The only thing I went in and messed with after Odyssey was, I did a few things. I mean, I always changed the speaker sizes and
to small.
I did usually go in and bump the subs a little bit because I did find those were always lacking from Odyssey. But otherwise, I didn't change a lot. I left it pretty much the way they said it, the way they calculated it. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's, and after doing it, we had no choice at the time. There wasn't any such a thing. So, but then when you get it, of course, we did what people do. And now it's, when they first came out with Odyssey or any kind of room correction, we were like, all right, let's try this. And you're like, it's not 15 and a half feet. It's 15 feet. What are they doing? It's all wrong.
Because again, the one thing, and this is just the guy that did my mini DSP calibration. I'm happy with the results, but he's by no means the god of this, but I don't have one speaker that's actually set. Actually, the only things that are set at 75 dB are my LCR. Everything else is at a different decibel level based on what he had us set, had me set them at through measuring. So I don't know that every speaker is supposed to be at 75, which is what I always had them at prior to this calibration. But because I'm actually looking at the piece of paper right next to me. My center is at 77. My surrounds are at 77. My ceilings are at 78 and my subs are at 80. And that's all based on the post mini DSP calibration. So, again, I'm happy with the results, so I'm not going to mess with it. but that blanket 75 dB across the board for all 11 speakers, I'm not sure if that's actually the right way to do it. So,
well, there's different schools of thought.
I know, and that's
75, 85, and it's.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just. Yeah. Like I said, I was paying for this to be done, and I did.
Right.
What he told me to do. So.
Here's where it gets confusing, and people like it's neither one's right, neither one's wrong. It depends on what software you're running and stuff like that. So, like some things are meant to be calibrated to 75, like that you run it to 75 dB, and that is the same as on another system or another way of calibrating, you calibrate to 85. Right. Okay. So, for instance, I believe, I'm sure VJ will check me. I believe it's 85 is reference level, right. But when you're running your room, you're checking at 75 dB, knowing that later you're going to be, it will then take it up to reference level. Okay. If that makes sense. Right. I've heard people argue about this between the two of them. And multiple times in stores, online, people talking about this, nothing matters as long as you know. Like, you can start out and say, I'm going to calibrate this whole room at 55 dB. I just know that when I go to listen to something, I'm going to be going 30 dB over that.
Right.
Doesn't matter. As long as you're consistent with how you do it. And that's how different software, that's how different methods work. So it's like, if you're calibrating at 75, you know, you're minus 10 dB on reference. That's all you're doing. It's just so you don't have to blow the room out just to calibrate the room. That's all it is. So it's not really confusing if you know that's what the parameters are. What people see is they hear that and go, well, 75 isn't, you're running 75's reference. I thought it was 85. What's going on? So it's stuff like that. And it can get confusing.
So. But it's all about, there are those people that like to tinker, and there are those people that don't want to go near it. And I think you know which one of those I am. Because Mike Trump saying in the chat, you know, that he likes to set that stuff manually and we'll recheck it for fun. And if that's how you get fun, good on you. Me, I wouldn't want to go near it because I'd be worried I'll stuff it up, and then I'll be on the phone to the installers again saying, can you come and fix this, please? So, you know, if it sounds good, leave it alone.
Right.
That's my view.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Van Gool. I find Odyssey gets the subwoofer wrong. This is where I would say that's probably a better sign, in my opinion, in my experience, that's a better sign of room treatments and lack of, or an inadequate room. Cause what's going to happen is they're going to play to that one. They're just going to run that sub and go, yep, I heard it at the level I need to hear it at. But for you to get what you really want, you need to have a local, you know, be able to get pressurized, or you need to be able to absorb the right amount so you get the discrete bass that you're looking for. There's so much more going on with that because bass is so dependent on your room, more dependent than any other frequency, right? Because the frequency is so long. So I would say, because I don't run any other calibration than Odyssey, and I absolutely love my bass. I don't think it's muddied. I know what muddied is. I know what clean is. I've worked really hard to get here, and I just keep running Odyssey, and my bass, and John's heard it before I even had the additions that I have now. And it's like, and John was trying to get to what he heard in my theater, not trying to brag. I'm just trying to get to to show you. It's like, I don't think it's Odyssey so much as it's, you know, like we all are, we're at the mercy of the environment that we're in. So, I wouldn't blame it necessarily the calibration on that. So.
Yeah. But DJ, your subwoofers don't dance like John's do.
No, do not. No. Although, to be fair, I've curbed the dancing.
Yeah, John's
can synchronize.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Get the lights going. You got a whole thing dancing. Going there.
Yeah,
it's like a tango.
Forgot that. All right. This last one, Steve. You want to read this one?
Yeah, sure. So this is from Ryan. I think this must be an email.
It's an email. This is another one of the. This was a personal one that I did get the okay to put on. Okay. And I thought, I was like, I know it's very personal, but it's, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So it says regarding the, RO Strong Forward donation for Prime Wireless speakers. And, it says, thank you and you are welcome. That was quite an inspirational story. Amazing. She has the positive attitude after all she's been through, and good one, Mike, too. That was one of the first times I've really relived the incident through a story since it all happened. I'm not sure I've ever told you before, but I'm a cop, and I was in my third year back in 2013 and had just left Baltimore City PD in 2012 to work where I live in PA. Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right, okay.
Or Pennsylvania.
Really touched.
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Where he lives in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Right. There we go. Really touched home since I've worked Baltimore's marathon before. And it was such a helpless feeling not being able to do anything. I'm also a huge Red Sox fan. We made our first trip up there in May of 2014. And while walking in the Back Bay area, I had what I thought was a very vivid deja vu, or I thought I'd been there before. I looked to my left and right. There was the finish line for the marathon painted on the road. Very surreal. Anyway, awesome podcast and great idea for the donations and giveaway, Ryan.
Yeah. So, we've got a bunch of those. So, like I said before, John, you probably didn't hear it, but I was like, people are like, best podcast ever. And I'm like, thanks. I can't do Boston Marathon bombing podcasts every week. Right. Thank God.
You did talk home theater. You did ask them about the screen size behind you and then just moved on.
Yes, I did.
That was great.
Yes, I did. But yeah, so thank you for that, Ryan. Really appreciate that. Thank you to everybody that sent me, personal messages and thank yous and stuff. So, it was a great podcast, great people. So, thank you. And so that's it for we have one more, a late addition last minute while we were in the show. Karan, this is perfect. PK, because I always say his name wrong. And he said I can call him PK when he was on the show. He says, and Steve replied right away, but I had already grabbed it, put it in the show because it does deserve mentioning. Please do. So he says, please do include few words on my favorite movie, Iron Man, which debuted 15 years ago this day. This is Tuesday, May 2nd. The movie which started the whole Marvel Universe, one of my favorite demo Blu-ray I still cherish. And it is great, great thing to mention. We did, as Steve pointed out, tweeted back to him in the link to the show. We just did Iron Man a few weeks ago. If this was a professionally planned show, we would have planned that for this week, but this is not. We go with what we like at the moment. But PK, thanks for bringing that up because it is. It's pretty cool. 15 years ago today, it all started. We couldn't wait. We didn't know what we were. We clearly didn't know what we were in for, but I still couldn't wait for this movie when it came out. I don't think anybody had any idea we'd be where we are today with this. You guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great film. Yeah, it's cool. But what it says to me, when I see 15 years ago, and I think of how many MCU films are we on now?
24? 25?
24, 25? No, we're in the 30s.
Are we that high already?
Yeah, when you add the Spider-Mans in, yeah, we are in the 30s, the Spider-Man movies. So not 15, the Spider-Man, not the Tobey Maguire ones, right, but just we're into the 30s now.
So 15 years, 30 movies. I mean, that is a conveyor belt like you would not believe. And we're not talking, dramas, chamber pieces with two actors. You're talking about epic sweep and scale and storytelling generally like hadn't been seen before. So isn't that that's an achievement in and of itself, isn't it? But all started by a fantastic film. And I mean, we were talking about Smartless. DJ, of course, John Favreau was on that. Was talking about how he got the gig to do Iron Man. It's a great movie and it is a good demo disc as well. Although, I don't know, because I must admit, DJ, I didn't listen to your Iron Man review of it because I'd gone off by then, and so I missed it.
Okay.
So I think the original Blu-ray, the original one was a really solid disc. The 4K disc that I've got of Iron Man is very, very good indeed, but I'm not sure I'd quite put it at reference for me. Not quite, but it's not far off. I mean, I like when you first see Iron Man and with the tank and he fires the little wrist launcher and the tank blows up, and obviously the Jericho missile test as well. That's your favorite, where you get the thing come at you. Is very good. But I wouldn't quite put it reference. Not quite.
So when you say that, do you mean like Ralph Ralph Potts, when he does his reviews, he gets into that kind, this kind of trouble all the time. because he, I mean, reference, when he means it, he means reference to other 4Ks. Yeah. Are you know what I mean? You're not you're not saying you prefer the Blu-ray over the 4K.
No, sorry. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean,
that's, I just wanted to be 4K clear.
Disc, right. Compared to other discs, it's not one that I would go, right, I'm going to put aside Into Darkness. I'm not going to bother with Fury Road, you know, forget, you know, Pacific Rim, forget, you know, all that stuff. I'm going to go to Iron Man. You know, Iron Man would not be in my top 10 of immediate to hand demo discs, not because it's bad, but because it's just not quite up there with some of the better audio mixes on 4K disc, but it's still exceptionally good. And of course, as we know with Disney, there can be issues. So it's very good for that.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to end up going on like a, this whole, you know, everybody is on Disney because they have such, they have bad this. And I'm like, you do realize it's probably because they put out the most, one of the most content. So there's going to be, they also have great stuff, but people forget that. they just remember like, I just talked about it with somebody. It's a takeover too. It could have been today's, it could be next week's or whatever. But I was like, I mean, like all of these movies recently have been really good. The only one I can think of off the top of my head has been Ragnarok. But for some reason, everybody's just like, wow, it's just not as good as, you know, this or this. And it's like, you know, like Sony does, they put out fantastic discs. You know, we love those discs. They're dynamic. They're great. I mean, but for some reason, I can't really say that they're horrible. They're not. They're great movies. They're cartoons, comics, you know, that have been, and then all the other stuff they do, even the Star Wars discs. Rise of Skywalker is an amazing home theater experience. What you think of the movie is a personal thing, but as a home theater experience, it's crazy how good that is. So
I mean, I'm not putting down Iron Man at all. As I said, it's just for is it just not quite? Well,
it's an older movie.
But it is really good.
I loved
it. Great film. It is a really, really good film.
I loved it. When I reviewed it, I was like blown away with it because I've seen that movie so many times and I just hadn't seen it in a while. And I think I said it in the podcast when I was talking to John, I was like, maybe I didn't have certain things that I've upgraded to since then. And now things are just come. I mean, the movie was just, there was so much more exposed to me that I was like, wow, the detail and the everything. And so it's a fun movie. And like you said, like, you know, PK says here 15 years ago today, and it's just like, I think time flies. Like, it's just, wow. It's amazing. So, all right. That's it for that. Are you ready to, all right. Do we want to do the drawing or do we want to do our tweaks of the week? It's up to you guys.
Why don't we do the drawing? Should we get that done?
Sure. All right. We got to go to the chat. The first number, one of you guys tell me as soon as you see a number, because everybody has different things. First number, I'm pulling up the numbers here. Give me a number. Somebody, the first person to give me a number, 1 to 209. Any number, 1 to 209.
78.
Somebody give me that number. Not you, a chat person. Somebody write in the chat.
You, where you that, are, John.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not looking at the
you're
list.
Not in there. We're not in there. No, but that way it's like, all right, the first one I see Mike Schramm's at 37. So, all right, 37. 37. So,
in a row?
Now, somebody tell me, first person to tell me, you can stop. We got 208, 145, 72. So Mike Schramm, we're going with 37. Now the next person to say up or down. Am I counting 37 from the bottom or from the top? That's all I'm looking for. This is the most random way to keep it like everybody. What the hell? How does he? And then I'll just tell you right away. So up or down, first person to say that, let me know in the chat. Do, do, do. I need some Jeopardy music here.
Up.
Up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nope. Down. Nope. Down, down. We have Carl it down, Van Gool it down. So, okay. So we're going down from the top. So that's easy. So number 37. Otherwise I would have to pull up the calculator. It is Steve Attias.
Oh,
boo.
He was all excited.
Oh, Steve's like, hey! Struck big.
Yeah, Steve Attias. Congratulations. You got the Sofa Baton X1. I need your address so I can get that off to Nelson's going to be mailing that out. So thank you to everybody for playing. Yeah, and let's see what he got it with, because I put next to it. That one, actually, he got that one for a $5 donation. So thank you, Steve. I really appreciate that.
I don't think he's in the chat, but.
No, nope. He normally is. I think the one time he wins.
Yeah, I know. The one time he wins. So that's pretty cool. That was fun. I had a column for code. So I put all the Patreon supporters in, all of the Green Room members, and then your codes and everything like that. So Steve got, and if you had a donation. So, all right. Thank you very much. I actually had nightmares about this last night.
Well, it was very cruel saying Steve and then pausing, to get my hopes up like that, and then just to dash them so cruelly.
Why were you all excited? You just have to have somebody out to the house to set it up for you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. Yes, that is true. And then I'll have to apologize to my Logitech.
Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So we will do that again next week. I might come up with a different system, so you guys out there can't game the system, but not that you could, because you don't. That's the other thing. As
nobody
people
could game that, yeah,
you can't game it. And the other thing I did is I put people in at random, like, because it's Excel, so I drop in where they go. So it wasn't like first come, first top, bottom, middle. It was just you drop in and that was it. So yeah, all right. So that's cool. But no, yeah, I had nightmares about it last night. I kept waking up going, "Did I do it right? Was that fair? I want to be fair." So, all right. Congratulations to Steve. That's fun. As soon as he hears, I'll email him, but I'll email him after Paul, the show, I Carl, guess.
Carl says, love that name. And Paul has responded, what, Steve? I mean, it's a pretty good name. Yeah, you're damn right it is, Paul.
Oh, God. Sofa Baton.
I like how Carl still feels the need to explain it.
Oh, boy. I need a break. All right. Are we ready for 2 weeks of the week? Oh, are we ready for the tweak of the week? This is a tweak of the year, to be fair. All righty. Tweaks of the week. I'm foregoing this week. I've got one, but we're going to skip mine this week. John, do you have one?
I do not.
No? Okay.
No. It's all about the Steve.
It's all about the Steve. And you know what? Before we get to this, I thought we were friends. How do we find out about this? Like, secondhand. I gotta go on social media to find out about this. I mean, oh my God. What's that?
I thought you sort of knew.
How would I sort of known? I don't hang out at the British newsstands. I know you speak to a lot of people, but I didn't know that. There's a lot of other people you've spoken to I know about. Am I to assume, and I won't fill in the blank on the air, that you're going to be,
Well, I didn't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I did say, I'm like, you guys, a bunch of people have said to me, you three are so good together. And I'm like, yeah, I go, it's a lot of fun. I go, John and I, it's easy. We've been doing it forever. It was easy when we started. The hardest part was us talking normal while it's recording. That was the hardest part for us. But then they're like, yeah, but Steve worked it so well. And it's like, you guys, it's like you're all friends. And multiple people said this. I go, yeah, I go, it'll probably be me and John soon, because somebody's got to take him and do something really professional with him. Because
take him out.
No. I'm just like, he's going to end up somewhere.
He's going to get a better offer.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what Home Cinema Choice says, you guys got there first. Way there first. Years first.
So, yeah, actually. Yeah.
The original Lambest. And I said that to Ara on Twitter as well.
Yeah,
You congratulate
HD Tours.
HD Tours did this 18 months ago.
Yep.
Or whatever it was. So, yeah. So for those wondering what we're talking about. So, yeah, very coolly, a couple of months or so ago now, I bumped into the editor of Home Cinema Choice, a guy called Mark Craven. He's a really nice guy at this Bristol Hi-Fi and Trade Show. It's the only one in the UK, really. And I bumped into him through someone else that I know from Twitter. And I got chatting to him, and I knew he was the editor. He didn't know who I was. And then about halfway through our little chat, someone said, "You do know who this is, don't you?" to Mark. And he said, "This is Legal Beagle on Twitter." And his eyes lit up. And he said, "I swear to you guys, it's stupid as this sounds." He said, "I think I've just met a celebrity." And I'm like, "Yeah, hardly, Mark, hardly." But anyway, you did tell us that part.
You did tell us that part.
So he was great. So we were chatting and he was really friendly and really nice. And he'd been drinking, which he said. So it was all good and very friendly. And then a couple of weeks after that, he then contacted me and said, "Would you like to be in the magazine? Would you like, you know, Cinema George to be featured?" Which is pretty special for a couple of reasons. One, in my old cinema room years ago, I actually emailed Home Cinema Choice and sent them some pictures of my old cinema room because I wanted to be in the magazine. And I never even got a response. Not even a "thanks for submitting it, but get stuffed" type email.
Right.
I got nothing back at all. So when he said, "Oh, do you want to be in the magazine?" I said, "Oh, yes, please." And then we corresponded and they sent some questions and I responded and we did all that. And then I sent them some pictures, all of which had already been on the website, Deeds. So again, you got there first. So I sent them off, but then I promptly kind of forgot about it, other than sending a tweet out saying Cinema George is going to need its own agent if it carries on like this. and I sort of promptly forgot. And on Saturday evening, I was sat on the couch, on the sofa, just relaxing, not doing very much. And a tweet came out from one of my followers that said, "So cool, you're in May's issue of Home Cinema Choice." And this was at about 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, so you found out like through social
via
media.
Via one of my followers. So I promptly jumped in the car, tore around to the nearest kind of news agents here, bought a nice white bag.
He bought every newspaper.
Two copies.
Okay.
Oh.
Because I thought, well, I need one to have framed. I am going to have it framed.
Of course.
And then one just to read. So I promptly did that. And I swear to you guys, this is how sad I am. I was leafing through it in the newsagents, right? Found my bit and promptly let out a bit of a squeal, which might have been a bit too loud for the people that were in there looking at me as if to say, "What is wrong with you?" So there we go. And it's very, very cool for me because you become then what they call a certified Home Cinema Choice AV Holic Hall of Famer. So it's super cool and
certified AV-aholic.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And it says, "Welcome to the AV-aholic Hall of Fame. Introduce yourself." So yeah, it's super cool and very flattering and very nice of them to do. Although if I was getting too ahead of myself, there is another cinema room in that magazine that's probably worth about 7 or 8 times my one. So I'm not getting ahead of myself.
Well, there's always somebody to bring you back down to earth.
Well, quite. Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's really cool and really flattering and very nice of them to do. It's really, really cool. Carl is asking if it's on the website. Well, in terms of it's on the Home Cinema Choice website. You can buy the issues. If you want to pick it up, you can. You can pick up links. If you just type in Home Cinema Choice issues into your search bar, there are various places you can buy them either digitally or they'll email them to you. They'll send them to you and you can buy them. So if you want to read the whole article, feel free. Very, very cool and very, very flattering. So I was pleased. I'm not sure if it counts as a tweet though, Deej, but anyway, it's very cool.
This is our goal when we tweak, no?
Right.
This is the whole thing. It's like, I'm trying to get it right, do this and that. And it's like, I mean, and like you said, it's like, we grew up in home theater reading these, especially us before the internet. It's like, this is what we did. And you're like, being able to get, our goal was always to get a piece of gear from one of the theaters that's in here. Never mind be the theater that's in there. Yeah. Right. And then to be able to have like your theater featured and have you have them talking about it. And then, you know, cause that's why you squealed. And I would too. I would do the same thing because you know what people are doing when they're reading this. They're like, oh, I would, this is great. I could do that. You know what I mean? And it's like, cause it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. It's like I'd be reacting just like you are because it's, you know, it's just, it's so, because we get excited when we see other people's stuff and then they'll be like, oh no, cool.
There is the one that top right corner on the cover there. There's the proper cinema.
Yeah. I was like, he didn't put a couch in, did he?
But I've been reading Home Cinema Choice for decades.
You know, yeah.
A long time. I mean, I stopped reading it for a while because I used to think when you spend all this money on a system or a piece of kit, a piece of gear, you know, and you spend all that money and then the next month there's the new thing out and then you think, oh, so the money I've just spent on that means it's rubbish now, you know?
Right.
So I did stop reading it for a while, but overall I've been reading Home Cinema Choice forever. And in the UK, next to what Hi-Fi magazine, Home Cinema Choice is the Bible in the UK.
Yeah.
So as you say, it was the goal to get to like you say, to be able to afford something in it, but to get an article in it was fab.
I think I was, they don't deliver over here anymore. I was getting it for over a year. I had subscribed. People were telling me it's great. And I was like, oh, wow. I think I'd mentioned like I couldn't get the physical copy of Sound and Vision or something like that because I get that digitally. And they were like, oh, if you want the physical. And people told me about this. And I got the What Hi-Fi as well. And it was like, I was psyched. I'd get it. My wife's like, oh, God, more magazines in the house. Because I'd put it right next to where I sit on the couch and we'd be watching a show or one of her shows and I'd just be like not looking. She's like, what are you reading? And it's like, I love them. I love flipping through them as much for the ads now, just because that's what we used to do. Right. And you'd be like, oh, that new gear. And it's like, I feel bad that I can't get it. I tried, you sent me a link today and they won't deliver over here. Oh, it just kept ticking.
Send issues worldwide, it says at the top of
that's
the
what I
link
thought, but yeah. I'll try again, but it just kept timing me out and telling me no. So I was like,
oh, all right. Man. But there may be, you might be able to, I'm sure there are apps on the, you know, on the thing you can get a digital version of it.
I want the book. I want the physical, hashtag physical media, Steve. I can't get this on my Kaleidoscape.
Well, I can send one over to you if you want to. We can sort it out if you want.
We know how that goes.
Well,
7 years from now,
going your way, it's coming
right
back.
True. So, but yeah, that's awesome, Steve. Congratulations. Real happy for you. Yeah.
No, thanks, guys. It was very flattering and really, really cool. And I mean, if you'd said to me even 6 months, a year ago, you know, you'd be in Home Cinema Choice, I'd get stuffed. I wouldn't have believed you. So very, very cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
Carl's saying there, but our Barnes & Noble in Austin has Home Cinema Choice.
Oh, cool.
So
I'll try to check here. We have a Barnes & Noble right up in Worcester, so I'll try. That would be cool. I'll check. Yeah, I don't think
it takes a while to get the most recent issue.
Right.
I think he said they're on May 1997. So
perfect. I'll get the latest and greatest Laserdisc player.
Right. I mean, it's expensive though. I will tell you the magazine is not cheap.
Oh, I know.
Even normally here. So yeah.
I had three of them in mine and it was like something $75, you know, $100, something like that with fees. But I was trying to buy three of them.
I've got a guy coming out next week. I'm just showing you how embarrassing that I am, not to anyone else but just to me. I've got a guy coming out next week to quote me for framing it.
Oh God.
He's coming to the house to lay it all out, measure it up in the cinema room. It's going to go in the equipment room, framed in the equipment room. He's actually coming to the house.
Well, if you have two or can get a second one, ask them what it would charge to like do the cover and then maybe the that page side by side, you know, or something like that and see if they can stagger them just so you can more than just the cover. Because that's how I was thinking of doing it. That's why I was buying
three. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking cover and then each page underneath it. Probably, you know.
You could do that right down the thing.
Behind the door. Yeah, it'll go beautifully then behind the door in the equipment rooms. When you go in and close the door, you'll see it there.
Yep.
So it'll be, it should be cool. And this guy, this chap I used years ago, he framed an autograph I had of Brad Pitt when I met Brad Pitt in London. And he signed a Beowulf.
Was it on your leg?
Frame that. Yeah, no, on my heart. So I had that framed and it was really nice. And they frame like football jerseys and shirts and stuff.
So
they do all of that. So hopefully they'll do a decent job.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, I can't wait till you get that done. Oh, no. When I did my daughter's pictures and stuff, same thing. I had it all professionally framed because, again, John and I did this through college. We had to do our mat cutting and learn how to cut mats. It sucks. It absolutely sucks. And I guarantee you that if I cut one, you wouldn't know the difference between that and the store-bought. I just don't want to do it. It's awful, especially when you got to get graded on it. Oh, you went a little too far. See this extra line here, especially in college. They were so particular, but it's just so much easier. Here, frame this. It's like a... All right. Awesome, Steve. Congratulations. That's
thanks, guys.
I was blown away when I saw the tweets. I was like, oh my God. I was like, where do I get this? That's so cool. Like I said, we're losing them, John.
I know.
We're losing them.
It's a matter of time.
You were there first. You guys got there first.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything.
Show business.
Yeah, exactly. John, who was your first girlfriend?
Not my wife.
Exactly. I was like,
but does she know?
Yeah. Well,
I don't think my first girlfriend knew she was my first girlfriend.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I know for a fact my first girlfriend didn't know she was my first girlfriend until she found out years later because she's one of my wife's best friends.
Oh, okay.
But it was a friend of ours but it was one of those like, I would always say like, she was like my first girlfriend because I was like best friends with her from kindergarten to like sixth grade, but we were just friends.
Right.
All right. What are we on now, kids? What are we on now?
I don't know because we're out of discs. Order. We're all out of sort.
Yeah, we're all out of order. We'll fly through these coming soon discs. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. We've got a few. We've got, you might have seen these. Superman Collection, two of them coming this week. Steelbook and regular Superman, the 1978 to 1987 collection. Steelbooks, they look very similar, but they're almost so good, each of them, that you want them both.
Yeah.
You know, they do. They look really, really nice. So that's coming. May 9th, by the way, 4K releases coming on May 9th. Steve, you want to take this one? Branded to Kills. Have you heard of that?
No.
Seijun Suzuki?
Yeah. It's a motorbike.
Haven't heard of that.
No, I'm just kidding.
or a car.
Yeah, they do.
For a little while.
I've not heard of this. Again, we've got to stop putting in the Criterion ones, Deej, because then it shows how we don't know anything about movies.
Or not, like, yeah. Hoity-toity ones.
Yeah.
We're all about the sights, the sounds, and the scenes. As long as it goes boom, we're in.
As long as it's framed by Michael Bay.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. We have The Shiver of the Vampires. Didn't we talk about this last week?
Yeah. I thought we had this.
I wonder if it got delayed. By the way, let's go back to this again. Branded to Kill. That came out in 1967. Okay. And then this one, the Shiver of the Vampires or whatever, that came out in 1971. We also have this one, which
those
we talked about
last week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
a couple
of
weeks ago. But I think they added them. They must have gotten delayed because I grabbed these from its actual calendar on Blu-ray.com, and you can see where they actually are, and it wouldn't have shown up, so it must have got delayed. So that's. Two Orphan Vampires is now coming out on May 9th, and Shiver of Vampires is May 9th. We also have Knock at the Cabin. M. Night Shyamalan's Knock at the Cabin from 2023, way back then, and a steelbook and a standard Blu-ray. Steelbook's very artsy. I like what they did with the fingers there. Pretty cool in the negative space. But yeah. So, and you saw this, Steve, right?
Yeah. I'm picking this up for sure. Yeah. I can't wait to watch this with others. This is a film where you'll be just like, what would you do? One, are these people just crazy? Two, if they're not, what would you do? You both enjoy this. I think this might be quite a good Halloween one though, Deej, because of the, it's a thriller more than that, but it's a movie. You'll be sat with your significant other afterwards going, yeah, but at what point would you have done this? And how would you have done that? Could it have been done a different way? So I would recommend this to both of you. I think you'll both get a kick out of this.
Cool.
You might wish you hadn't asked your significant other because of the choice that's got to be made in this. If they go, well, I'd have just offed you in about 5 minutes.
Right. Then you might not like the answer.
Exactly that.
So self-preservation versus, you know, I have a great story of my wife with that. I asked her to take my truck to her brother, who's a mechanic, and the truck had issues with the engine. It was, you know, whatever. So I was at work in summertime, so she drives it there, but we two little kids in the back seat, and she gets to his shop, and the engine, she pulls in and stops, and the engine just starts smoking like crazy. She jumps out of the truck and runs away. Left the kids in the back. The kids are in the seats in the back. Ma? My brother-in-law's like, the kids? Everything was fine. It just was overheating. And now that it wasn't moving, now the smoke can go up. But she just... So, self-preservation. Yeah. You know? Like, oh yeah, I got kids too.
She was 2 miles down the road before she realized it.
Right.
Okay, so I think you've got your answer to the what would you do question then.
I know. I know what I'd do, and I know what she'd do. Either way, I'm doomed. Right. I'm doomed. So... All right. Are we ready to get to, let's get to, this week's home theater experiences. We've got nothing else, right? We've done that. Okay. Cause I always forget, we have no more digital giveaways this week. I'm up to date. So if anybody has any digital giveaways, I didn't get any extras in this week, so we're good on that. Listen to other podcasts, other past podcasts, if you want to grab some.
Because this is somebody else's show if you want.
No, our show, but I'm like the ones that have them in it. So you can do that. And so let's get to this week's real home theater experiences. That's our all right. And because this is the only one I have available, we're going to start out with this. And while John tells us about his experience this week with this, you want to tell everybody what it is while I load in some more?
Well, I was waiting for you to finish that sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So Ip Man 3, 4K disc. This is HDR, Dolby Atmos. You know, obviously we've been watching the first two movies recently. Mm. So this is, I just got 3 and 4. I'll have 4 next week, to review or to talk about. I thought this movie was great. Despite the, Mike Tyson of it all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was what it was. Have you watched it yet?
No, I haven't seen 2 yet. I didn't know you had seen 2.
Did we talk about it? Yeah, we did 2. Yeah,
did we?
About 2. Oh, yeah.
I must have been loading in images. Oh. I didn't know.
Yeah, I had heard from a few people that this was kind of the weakest of the bunch, and then 4 kind of bounced back with a strong outing. But I actually thought this movie was very good. Again, despite the Mike Tyson of it, he was a little cartoony. But I thought the story, I thought this movie was very good. Again, a really, really good sound, excellent Dolby Atmos, good HDR. It looked great, sounded great. I really enjoyed it. So can't wait to watch number 4. But yeah, Mike Tyson was a bit cartoony, I thought. Too cartoony really? For my taste. Yeah.
No he's Oscar not a, nominations.
He's not an actor. Let's put it that way.
Right.
He is not an actor. But I thought this was the, like, had the most poignant story of the three so far. You know, this was definitely, you know, it moved, you know, had some tear jerk moments, I guess. It was moving. But other than that, I thought it was excellent. So, Steve, I don't know if you watched it this week, but I know you've seen it.
Yeah, I have seen it, but I watched some select scenes this afternoon. I did a DJ, running short of time.
Right.
So I just thought I'd scout about it, but I have seen the film numerous times, including the 4K disc, to be fair. Right. So having finished one of the other movies we're going to talk about in a bit, I then thought, right, because I, as you guys all know, and anyone that's watching or listening knows, I love these movies and this genre. So I thought, right, I'll put it on, and I went to the sort of the school fight, as it were, the massive fight by the school, then the Tyson fight, and it's stunt casting all day long. There's no doubt about it,
for sure.
And then the last sort of fight as well. I mean, it's a really fun film. It is definitely the weakest of the four. By not some, that sort of doesn't mean that it's not a good film. It's just not quite to the standard of 1, 2, and 4. 4 definitely kind of gets it back on track. But it's still a good film. And I agree that there is some poignancy there. There is some tragedy that strikes Ip Man in this. And it's done actually, as far as these movies go, I think it's done with a lightness of touch and an empathy that you don't normally get in this kind of genre. Generally, it's very operatic, isn't it? It's OTT and whereas it's actually handled very sensitively, I think. And so I completely agree with you. In terms of the home theater experience, it looks beautiful. It's very slick, this one. By the time they get to these, they're spending real money on these. And so you've got it's all digital photography. It's got a proper cinematographer. They've spent real time on it, that you've got proper production value. And the 4K just brings that out. And it looks beautiful. You've got the, I suspect it's been shot either in 4K or maybe even 8K. I'm not sure. Because the every pore, every wrinkle, every mark, every, you know, facial hair, Tyson's tattoos, you know, they're all absolutely, you know, three-dimensional. It looks incredible. And there are a number of shots. Well, again, I wonder whether this has been filmed with HDR in mind, because there are shots through window with someone silhouetted with a window behind. And through the glass, you've then got, or through the window, you've got the bright light, which then gets you this sort of a kaleidoscope, not a kaleidoscape, of colors. And you get this really lovely sheen as it comes through the windows. And it's like, it's almost like the cinematographer going, look, HDR, before there was HDR, you know, so this kind of looks like it was shot with that in mind. And so it looks beautiful. And all the way through, it looks really good, even if it's in a dingy apartment or, you know, in a nice sweeping kind of fight sequence. It's really, really nice. And I agree again, the Atmos sound is really nice, punchy, you know, taut, there's bass to it. There's all kinds of stuff moving around. There's a nice moment.
Well, especially in the Tyson punch, the thundering punch.
Feel them, you know, yeah, you feel the hits going in.
It's like, also like the tank, you know.
He is, well, quite, he is. But there's a nice moment in a fight at the end, an extended fight at the end, where at one point two characters who have got swords, well, or knife, sword things,
right,
and they clang together, and the fight's being watched by two young children. And as the blades sort of scrape and squeal and
go, the
kids are holding their ears like that. And it's quite nicely done, because you kind of feel that too as they're doing it. So that's quite a nice little trick that they do. So yeah, it's the best of the three in terms of its home cinema experience so far for me, but it is the weakest of the three. And luckily 4 gets it lovely back on track with a very cool extended Bruce Lee cameo. And then a really good story that goes along with it. So yeah,
cool.
Really, really good. Deej, get it. You'll really like it.
I have them all. I have them all.
Of course you do. Sorry. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. And this is the one that I'm probably looking forward to for the home theater side, because Kaleidoscape has it in DTS X for some reason.
Nice.
They don't have Atmos on any of them. They only have the three. They don't have four. But I bought all four. And once I'm done with two, which has, you know, that's 4K Atmos, the Kaleidoscape is just 1080p with 5.1, I believe. And then, but when you get to three, it goes to, it's 4K with Atmos. And then they don't have four yet. So, I'm sorry, it's 4K with DTS:X, which I'm like, that's crazy. I'm like, what happened there? Like, why did they get a DTS:X version when, you know, they did the same thing on the, it went the other way, I believe, didn't it? On Jurassic World.
Well, Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World Dominion went.
The Kaleidoscape had Atmos, right?
And yeah. They don't even have Atmos. They have it in 5.1. It's 5.1.
Strange, isn't it?
And Kaleidoscape. And it's what the studio, the original Jurassic Park. And this is what. This is why I'm wondering. I have a speculation. This is, you know, you can correct me, you can believe me, or you know, or whatever. But I have a speculation. This is where it gets into. Just give them the 5.1. This is what, because they get it from the studio. Kaleidoscape doesn't give it, doesn't do it. They are not in the business of similar to. They're not like Arrow or any of these other video where they take them and they remaster them for you, and then they give it an Atmos track or they give it a DTS:X track. Kaleidoscape just takes it from the studio as it's given. So did the studio just go, well, we're just upmixing it, so let them do it, and that everybody upmixes that anyway. You know what I mean? And it's like, now I've gone back and forth, and the Kaleidoscape one, there's a little extra bass in the DTS:X. There is a difference. But at the end of the day, when I jump around, it's way more convenient just to go Kaleidoscape, because you're not going to notice a difference. Traveling from one house to another, you wouldn't know which one you were listening to. Getting up and ABing from one format to the other, where I can very quickly, yeah, you could see the difference. The DTS:X is nicer, but it's not enough for me to be like, I got to get up, put it in my tray. I'm like, because I just watch a few scenes and then I go on to something else anyways. So. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that one. That'll be good.
It's really nice. You'll have a really good experience.
I love them all. We're having a blast with all these. So yeah. Be good. All right. I have all of yours loaded up, Steve. What would you like to speak upon next?
Well, let's go in. Oh, do you know what? I haven't got my notes up.
Forget what yours are.
Yeah. Let me. It was that kind of week.
Silence, Evil.
Oh, yeah, Evil Dead Rise. Yes, please. Yes,
there we go.
Oh, yeah. So this was on a screener, so I didn't see it in the cinema, but I'm really looking forward to talking about this. So, a screener, it's out in theaters, not out on disc yet. Have you seen the Evil Dead films? Have you seen the 2013 mm-mm. one? Not
seen the first one.
Okay, all right. Well, this is... It's cut from the same cloth as the 2013 one. So that was I think Fede Alvarez did that one. So it's a straight horror. It's not a comedy like one and two were, two more than one.
Actually, I think I've seen the first two.
Ah, there you go. So they were horror comedies, really. They were very OTT. Right. But then you get the Fede Alvarez 2013 one, which I reviewed in 4K recently on the podcast. And this one is cut from that cloth. And it's fantastic. So as a movie, I mean, it's as gory as hell. This is not for people of faint heart, because it is, I mean, there is buckets and buckets and buckets of blood in this, literally. And so it's very OTT. So if you're a bit squeamish, not for you. If you're a horror junkie, like I am, then this is this is manna from heaven. Well, or hell. As it were.
Yeah.
So it's a great, it's a very fun, gory movie. So that's it's a great film. And I can't wait to own this in 4K. And the reason for that is this: not only is it a good film, but this could be reference 4K video and possibly audio. It is beautiful to look at. And having said, buckets of blood, so you might think that's a bit weird, Steve.
We said that a lot. We're used to it by now, Steve. Yeah. We know you.
Just weird, full stuff. But it looks gorgeous. This it starts off with a short kind of vignette, in a cabin, because of course all these movies previously were in cabins in the woods. And so it starts off with this sort of really nice looking kind of scene by a lake and a cabin, all that stuff. But then it cuts to an apartment block in a big city where it's at night, obviously horror film. And you've got fluorescent lighting and you've got rain and you've got kind of dark black and in these sort of really low lit interiors. And it is gorgeous to look at. The cinematographer behind this is going places. This is going to be it looks just beautiful in its kind of horror and its gore and everything else. And I know I'm not selling it well, but it looks like $1 million for a horror movie for us kind of gore hounds. It's been shot like, it looks like it's been shot by Roger Deakins. You know, it's absolutely stunningly good to look at. Cool. And then if you then add that with the sound, and even on a screener, so it was only in 5.1, but, and I watched it in my, in the cinema room, but it's not in surround. And so it's clear that this is going to be sonically fantastic as well. So I was really impressed with the look of this. This could, and I don't say that lightly, this really could be reference 4K video in terms of its, ooh, you know, dark and light and interplay with HDR and your blacks and your brights and everything else. It really could be fantastic, but I don't know whether the content, I mean, John, you'll be all right with it, but yeah. I don't know whether the subject matter is going to be for you. So I'm not even sure if it's a Halloween one necessarily.
Yeah. we'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know. Really, I love the home theater side of it, though. Mm. I mean, like you said, the HD content and
this will really, really look great when we get this at home. You know, properly, that is, because it looked fantastic on a screen at 1080p. So in 4K, this will look fantastic. So yeah, cool. I'm really pleased with this. Had a kind of dopey grin on my face during most of it because just how good it looked.
Kind of like the poster.
Well, quite.
I get definite smile vibes there from that poster.
Yeah, and that's going to be deliberate, isn't it? Because Smile was a massive hit.
Right.
But this is not, don't be fooled by that. I mean, she's not smiling for a good reason. Right. And you don't see much of that.
Well, the title is Evil Dead Rise. I got to imagine it's not a good reason.
It also has one of the coolest title screens of any film I think I've ever seen. You know, when the title comes up,
yeah,
it does it in such a way that just makes you go, whoa.
Yeah.
So this really, really could be worth seeing. And interestingly, the woman here that's smiling, by the way, John, because I'll talk to you about it. You know, in Vikings, the woman, not obviously, not the blonde
Agatha.
Lady,
not
Agatha. Who was the one who replaced her with the dark hair? Who was the chief's kind of daughter that came from somewhere else. I can't think
I know who you're talking about. I don't remember her name, but I do know.
It's her. She plays the mother in it. So that's her there. Yeah.
Okay.
And if I tell you that, you see it, you probably see it looking at that.
Yeah. Name. Yeah.
But she's really good in it. Yeah. And it's, so it's great. This is way, way better than I hoped it would be.
Wow.
So I can't wait.
And color me intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I don't even like the movies.
Like I said, you may not. Yeah. Deej, I'm not sure the subject matters for you, mate, but it looks and sounds phenomenal.
I might have to go back and watch the 2013 version.
Yeah, you don't need to see one, two, and you don't need to see.
Well, I've seen all the Ash Armory of Darkness stuff.
Yeah, you don't need to see those. See the 2013 one, which is out in 4K and is also really nice.
Right.
And ready for this one. Not that there's a direct continuity. It's just so you've got some idea of what to expect.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it's great. Yeah, really, really good.
Cool. No, all right. Let's see. That's a good one. Let me see. Should I go? Let's get to this one that we chatted about, I think, before show. This is really interesting. It's a quick one. I didn't take notes, and this is what I'm so intrigued about is, Steve, why don't you lead us off with, what do you have to say about this? Like, I'm shocked because it's not your favorite movie.
No, strangely, no.
I was going to say, I didn't like this, so I wonder what had to say.
Johnny, were you sure we weren't separated at birth?
I know. I didn't like this at all.
Yeah, I this is one of, before I had, I've never said to you before, before I had the cinema room, I already had about 40 4K discs ready to go. And obviously you could watch the Blu-ray and then you had the 4K disc ready to watch once you had your 4K system. And this is one of the ones I bought amongst those 40 or so discs because I thought, well, space, Harrison Ford, decent budget. It's got to be great. I mean, it just has to be. What I didn't know is that it's based on young adult fiction. Had I known that, I might have paused because I'm not a fan of Harry Potter and I don't like the Hunger Games and it's not really my thing. So I bought it and I watched it and I thought this was incredibly forgettable as a story. Just dull as anything and nothing exciting for me at all. None of it. And I'm not sure I entirely understood the story either. But that might have been a bit of boredom. And I've only ever seen it once, and I've still got the disc, so I'll try it again someday. But it was just very, very by the numbers and forgettable for me. And I thought, now, DJ, this is where we might really differ here. The way I remember it is that the video and audio wasn't all that exciting either. There wasn't enough in this to make me think, ooh, wow, this is 4K. Wow, you know, this is Atmos. Look at this. I found the whole thing very forgettable. But that's only based on one viewing. I didn't do much for me at all, I'm afraid. Now, again, tell me why John and I are wrong.
Well, John, do you remember it?
Well, I don't remember it a whole lot either. Steve found it pretty forgettable. I just remember not really thinking a whole lot of it. I don't own this. This was probably a Stars or an HBO, maybe Netflix. I don't know where I saw it, but it wasn't on disc. I don't own it, so I can't speak at all to the home theater part of it. And I wouldn't remember anyways, I guess, because I don't really remember much of the movie. I kind of just, it didn't leave any impression on me at all. So,
The reason I bought it is I was recording with Joe Kloznik that the podcast came out today and he was talking about it and he's like, you got to get it. He's like, he loves it. And he was talking about a scene. We'll get to that in a minute. And so there's a scene in, you know, that he gave out for the podcast. And I was like, all right, yeah, well, and I, like you guys, this is that's what I had heard about. I'm like, it's not that good, blah, blah, blah. So it, you know, when you have stuff on your list, you're not going to add it. You're not going to add in something that was supposedly mediocre, but I like Joe. I respect Joe. He's got, you know, so I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So I literally bought it when we were on the podcast. And I think I watched it because I had time when we were done or whatever, the next morning, maybe because it was raining. And here's the thing. I didn't take notes. It was like I was a kid again. And that's what I loved about the story, because the story was about, you know, it's about that kid. And he's, you know, I'm not that kid. He's a genius, right? He sees things in a different way. He sees moves ahead. And that's what I liked about Ender's Game. His name is Ender. That's the, right. I didn't know that until I saw the movie, but that's also a chess thing. End game. You're in it's chess. It's moves ahead. It's thinking all of these things. I actually predicted this movie. Like you said, it's Steve, it's by the numbers. You're right. Fairly predictable, but knowing how this movie, that's what this movie is about. It's predicting what's going to be coming by the numbers. That criticism is actually what the movie's about. Like, if you do things enough times, you're going to find it to be predictable, right? That's the entire movie. And that's a philosophy, but here they used it for the kid, and they're trying to find the kids that can see the most moves ahead. That's the story. And I was fascinated by that story. And I thought the 4K, the HDR, I didn't take notes, but I was like, oh, that was, the bass is fantastic. The sound is fantastic. The scene that he had is at 12 minutes. He had guessed it in the show. It's around 12 minutes. It's at 12:23. And what they're doing is it's a rocket launch. And what it is it's, and this is one of those scenes that's so cool, because we always talk about how, like, oh, the boom and the bass that you can feel and the sounds over here. This one is when they get to space, and they don't say it in the movie, and Joe described it perfectly in the podcast. It's that you're supposed to understand what's going on in this scene. So you're seeing them launch, but you're inside the ship. And when they break the atmosphere, there's no more sound. So the engines are still going, but now you just get, your room goes silent. And it is so cool because up until then, you get the, you see the launch, it's loud, you're inside it, you can feel the rumble, you can feel the bass. It's not overpowering. It's not like you're like, roar. It's not like Lucy where you're like, oh, my room, I'm launching. You know, it's not like that at all. It's just a subtle low rumble that you can feel in your room. And then when it's gone, that's when you notice, you're like, what happened? And it feels like you're in space. It's really, really cool. And I was glad he brought it up. I'm glad he mentioned it. I loved it. We got to the end of the movie. I knew the ending long before we got there, but I loved, like, talk about, like you said before, Steve, like, oh, you know, what would you do? What would you do in that situation? If that was you and you were a kid and you got played and, oh my God, I had a blast with it. And it's like at the end of it, I was like, oh crap, I didn't take any notes. And normally I like pause the movie, but this was my first time seeing it. And I just had a blast with it. So really enjoy way more than I thought I would. And to be fair, that's probably because for years I was like, it's not supposed to be very good, you know, but, and Joe did a great job. He didn't really talk it up. He didn't tell me it's the best movie ever. He's just like, great home theater experience. Have fun with it. Boom. And I did.
I'll revisit that scene. I will have another look at that. I mean, I see Paul in the chat again saying similar stuff. He said he thought he might have fallen asleep before it got to the end.
No, that's fine.
I mean, it's not dreadful. It's not. I didn't think it was, you know, offensively bad because it's still in the collection, so it must be all right. But it was just forgettable. It was very much been there, seen it, and seen it better. I thought, and again, as we talked about earlier, the Ben Kingsley, who was clearly trying to approximate a New Zealand accent for reasons that are unclear, because one, he can't do it, and two, you know, not quite sure. I mean, it's good to know that there are still New Zealanders in the far future, and also that.
That's nice.
I mean, tell me this, guys. These days, bearing in mind this goes back a little while now, this must have been in the teens, 2000 teens. Would you be allowed these days as a white actor to have Maori tattoos on your face like that? Or would that be cultural appropriation, do you think? Just one.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure they get away with that.
Given
now.
Today's climate, yeah, I don't know that you
can get away with that. Yeah, because he's got no, you know. But anyway, it's a just one that it just occurred to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there we go. I will give that scene another go, DJ. I'll let you know kind of what I think of that. I'll give that a whirl.
Yeah.
And I'll watch it maybe one day, but it would have to be, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Because it was rare.
Yeah, 2 weeks off from work. Yeah, nothing else to do. You're out of material.
I was in a cast. I couldn't move other than just to hit play. It was in the trail ready. It was a rare thing for me because I'd heard the disc was good. And so of all the collection ones I had at that time, this was the one that was like, kind of Blu-ray-y how I remember it. So I'll give it a go. I mean, I've seen lots since. So.
I do think, I mean, for anybody that hasn't seen it and it is wondering, but like, so I think this is funny. Like, and I'm not making fun of Paul. Paul knows that because you guys have cliche ridden. Maybe I missed the point. Seems to take awfully long time to get to the point. I might have fallen asleep before it got there. That cliche ridden part is, that's like I said to you guys before. I'm like, that's kind of that's what they're doing here. That's the idea, is we're looking for patterns. We're looking for these things. So, and that's kind of what we do in movies. I'm going to be saying this again with another show, another thing John and I have been watching that I like when movies do this. And I'm wondering if the person that wrote this, when it's actually based on a book, Joe said, I'm wondering if when this story was written, that's what they're, you know, talking about. It's like, it's things happen in cycles. These things, you know, when you think you found something new, it's not. It's, you got to find the patterns. How do we find the patterns? What happened here? How do we find the patterns? Because that's how you, when you, and I love that opening line. It's like, when you know your enemy, that's when you love them, because you when you finally get to know them. But now that was your enemy. And I thought that was really cool too. But it's, that's the idea. And it's like, while you guys were saying like, it's cliche and stuff, it's like, that's kind of, all of those terms are kind of what that movie was basing itself on, I think. So at least that's the way I saw it. So, but you know, to each his own. I'm not arguing with you, because many, many more people have said what you guys are saying. I just really liked it. So,
yeah, no, which is cool. And like you said, I'll give it another go at some point. I will. And I will try that scene. 12
don't
minutes.
Don't hurt yourself.
In about 12 minutes. Yes.
12 minutes and 13 seconds. What did I have? Hang on. 12:23. I have.
Right, I'll give it a go.
Something like that. So, all right. What do you want to go with next there, John? You're up next.
Well, I only have two more, so I think we're both going to talk about one of them.
All right. You want to do that one?
Or we could do the other one first. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, why don't you do your other one then?
Okay.
Boom. There you go.
So this is Scream 5, although just Scream, the 2022 yeah. version. I watched this on Paramount Plus. Did have Dolby Atmos, Dolby Vision, 4K HDR, but of course it was streamed, so a little bit less than what you get on the disc. Everything you just said about cliches for Ender's Game applies here. but again, also, that was absolutely the point
right.
of this movie. I know, Steve, you've seen it. I don't know if you've seen this one, DJ.
No, I'm waiting for Halloween.
I had not seen it before. This is just Scream 1 all over again with a new cast and some updated things. But through all of that, I loved it. I thought it was great. I had an awesome time with it. I mean, it was the most predictable thing that you could think of. It really was just the first movie literally all over again. But it was like in meta, you know, it took itself very lightly. But I had a blast with it. I really enjoyed it. I will definitely be picking up the 4K disc, because I also think that it should be a very good disc. I know, Steve, you talked about it. Unfortunately, I don't remember what you had said about the audio and video on the disc, but I have a feeling, because the stream was not bad, so I have a feeling that the disc will be very good for Atmos and picture quality. So am I wrong with that, Steve? Or
No, it is. Okay. It's a solid disc. It's not it's not a reference one. You're not going to be reaching for it to demo it to the world, but it is really solid, and it's got the nice kind of quiet bang stuff that you want from that kind of movie. Yeah, and I agree. It's a good film. It is cliche ridden, but it's meant to be. That is, as you said, that is very much the point with all the Scream movies. They're following rules. They set out the rules. These are rules of
they break them off.
Legacy franchise. Well, quite, yeah. So this is setting out the rules of a legacy franchise.
Right.
I saw this in the cinema, and then I've got the 4K disc, and it's really solid. It's really good. There's some, and if you're a fan of The Boys, and you know, you've got obviously, Jack Quaid.
Yeah. Jack Quaid and Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
We're both great. Really both great. And then of course, all the returning cast.
It is really, really good. It's a solid disc. It's worth picking up for sure, and you'll get it for a really decent price now as well. So it's well worth well worth getting.
Well, I think there's a double Scream 1 and Scream 5 two disc 4K set on Amazon for like $30 or so. So I'm going to pick that, because I don't have any of these in 4K. So
yeah, I've got one and two in 4K, and then this one as well, and then Scream 6 is out.
Yeah, which I'll be watching now. I'm kind of torn on watching it on Paramount Plus or just buying the disc and watching it that way.
Yeah.
So
it's good. It's worth picking up. I mean, I was not massively enthused with Scream 6. There is some kind of very silly stuff in that. It goes a bit too far, but I'm still going to get the disc because I want to see it again and try it again, but it's not, people in that get sliced to bits 1 second and are fine. The next, right. Literally 2 minutes later, they're all better.
Right.
And it's like, what? So that's a bit far. But yeah, I agree. I'm glad you really enjoyed it. It is.
I did. I really liked it.
No, it's great stuff.
Can't wait for October.
You're going to have lots to see in October, Deej.
I always do.
Hope you're keeping notes.
Yeah, I don't know if you have enough days in October.
Yeah. Well, now it's like I used to have to only do, you could only do four. Now I can do a couple a week. I can do it the way with this format, you know, I can watch a few. So maybe I will, or I'll just avoid them all together.
Huh? It's getting some love in the chat as well. Lots of people saying really enjoyed it. Yeah.
It was super fun.
Yeah. No, I've heard good things about it. And I'm a huge fan of the Scream series. So just haven't, you know, gotten back to it yet. So, all right. Steve, what do you want?
Okay. So time is starting to get away from us a little bit, or for me anyway. Yeah, so I might, I'll rattle through mine a little bit more quickly than I might have done. Should we do Silence of the Lambs next?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, this is one that we talked about a while back. So I know you're waiting to see it with Jen, aren't you, Deej? You got it again, saving it for October.
I bought it on release day and hoping to see it that October, but no.
So this is the Kino Lorber reissue of it. And I had imported it as well. Only recently, someone in the chat or a listener or someone had said, oh, Steve, get it and let me know what you think of it. And so, you know, I imported it. So really quick, the movie's the movie. You know, if you haven't seen Silence of the Lambs by now, you're either not a horror fan or you're not. It's just not for you. So I don't think we need to say anything about the movie other than it hasn't aged a day.
Yeah.
It's still very, very good. It's such a well-done film. I really want to talk, though, about the disc because I think this disc is reference for how to do an older movie of this type. It is beautiful within the confines of this kind of film.
It's scary how good, like you put it, you're like, because I've flipped through it. What, you know, I want to see the whole, I've seen the whole thing, but I want to enjoy it as its full feature with Jen. But flipping through it when I first got it, I was like, oh my God, you don't expect that, you know?
No, exactly that. And because it's a movie that's told in close-ups, And it plays with close-ups. So you've got a sequence where you've got, again, people know, but where you've got two characters. And as they flip between them, the camera is getting closer and closer and closer to them. And I mean, there's one point, I mean, I never saw this in the cinema. This was 1990. Oh. I was in Spain. And this was not the sort of film that you'd see in the summer and, you know, in an outdoor theater. So I never saw it in the cinema. When a time I'd come back from Spain, this had long gone. So watching it in the cinema room, even on a tiny 75-inch screen, this is the biggest screen I'd ever seen it on. And so this is the first time, though, that I felt the sheer claustrophobia and the fear of Anthony Hopkins just staring right at you, you know, and the 4K, the HDR and the detail levels, it genuinely feels like he has stood over you staring right at you, and it goes right through you. It's incredibly effective. And because of the 4K, you can see every little minuscule, capillaries in his eye. You can see the little blood vessels. You can see the wrinkles. You can see the stubble that he's got. And it's absolutely breathtaking. It really is the quality of it. And you still got all the grain. It's not been scrubbed. It's all still there, but it looks fantastic. And the ending with the Jane Gumbs apartment has never looked more threatening, has never looked more, I don't want to be in that room.
the scene with the light, when the lights go out and the flash and the, the noise. I went right to that because that's one of Jen's favorite scenes too, because it's just... That's the edge of your seat scary when you see it in a theater and you're like, oh my God, it's like, but seeing that again with HDR and the lights go out and it's just, it's insane how like, I don't know. Sometimes you put on a movie and you just have you lower your expectations. And when something like this hits you, you're like, when was this made? Like what the?
Well, quite. And it just, and bearing in mind how washed out the color is at times. You've got what leapt out at me this time is Jodie Foster's blue eyes the she's got lipstick on. It just comes off the screen that little bit more, and then all the other detail that goes with it. Now, having said this, as I said, in my view, if you asked me, I would say this is reference 4K in terms of an older movie being upgraded and updated. And yet, I had a mini tantrum on Twitter because I still had three or four people drop into my review when I said this is excellent, saying, and I quote, one of them said, the transfer is foobar.
Why?
They said, oh, well, the first 20 minutes is a little green, apparently. I mean, I started typing my lengthy response, halfway through, I thought, can't be bothered, so I just deleted it and blocked them.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't be doing it because it's blocked nonsense. Nonsense. I didn't want to.
I block stupidity.
It was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because objectively, this is a beautiful transfer. I think. Right.
Yeah. Objectively, I think.
Objectively, it's an objective. Yeah, it's objectively really good. So I get that, but just I don't get how people can whinge at this kind of release. It's fantastic. Yeah. And Paul, just because he's in the chat saying about it, you know, get this, import it. You'll pay it. It'll cost you a bomb because it's not cheap, but get it because it's fantastic. You know, it really is good. And I'm glad, DJ, you know, you feel the same way.
Yeah.
Is it one for you, John? Is this one you pick up?
Oh, I love the movie. I don't have it in 4K yet. I, like Paul said, I've owned it in just about every format that it's come out on.
Me too.
Laserdisc.
Yeah, absolutely love the movie.
Yeah.
So,
it's, I mean, on your screen,
I haven't seen
well,
it in quite a while.
Oh, so. Well, on your screen, you know, with the lights out, again, DJ will be the same. You just, the oppressive nature of these close-ups, it really does feel you've got him looking boring right into you. Ugh. It's that
so
much
good.
More effective.
No, I did see this in the theaters, but you know, again, it was 33 years ago, so I don't really remember.
Just it's great. Yeah, I look forward to hearing what you think about it if you pick it up. And same with you, Paul, as well. I'm really curious to see what you think.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that one. So much for quick. Sorry.
All right. Yeah. Well, when it's good, you got to go. You know, when you got to go, you got to go. All right. John, you want to do, we'll do this one, my next one, because I have this and then I only have one other. So we'll go with, I have that. We have Citadel streaming on Amazon, Amazon Prime, Amazon Prime original from the Russo brothers.
Right.
And John saw it as well. And it.
Why does yours look so much redder than yours? I don't understand.
I don't know. I just take them with my iPhone. Is that. That's not what your screen looks like, though.
No,
right?
It looks
that's
like yours. Phone. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know.
Check your phone settings, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. Same. Yeah. 4K, but, HDR, Atmos. No, I didn't have Atmos.
You didn't?
No.
I did. I had Atmos.
I did not.
And what's funny is this is
Apple TV.
This is my picture, and here and the screen says 5.1.
Right.
But when I play it, my receiver says Atmos.
That's so funny because I absolutely
that's what
did
I go
not,
by. Yeah.
Did not have it.
Okay.
I had upmixed, of course, upmixed Neural X, but I only got 5.1.
Yep. I'll double check later, but it was Atmos, and I was. This is what I really, my favorite part of this, we'll get to the home theater part in a second, is it's weekly.
Yeah. After two episodes, it dropped two and then it's weekly.
Yeah. And I'm psyched because I mean, I had a blast with these first two. How about you?
Yeah, I did too. This is just your standard spy thriller and it is also cliche ridden.
Oh.
It's not really breaking any new ground here, but. It's Richard Madden and Priyanka Chopra, I think is her name. I enjoyed both of them. They had good chemistry together. They're both fun. Stanley Tucci is also in it, and he's always great. But yeah, this is just your standard weekly spy thriller. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought the sound was pretty good for stream, even without the, for me, no Atmos. I had a lot of movement you know, throughout my speakers with the Neural X, and I thought it looked excellent. So I enjoyed it.
I had a blast. It was the HDR again. It was so good on this. The 4K. I thought the imagery was beautiful. I thought, you know, it's streaming. I thought the blacks at times could have been a little deeper. But that's just your dynamic range, probably there with, you know, compression, but I still thought you had great detail throughout, picture wise, really lots to see, very engaging picture, and the sound is awesome bass. Like really, really nice.
Deep well, that bass whole beginning on stream. The train was very bassy. I do remember that.
Yeah. I mean, they suck you right in on that. And it, I mean, I thought as a home theater, I'm looking forward to this every week. I'm so excited to have this weekly to look forward to. Such a fun show. And it's exactly just that. It's a fun show. Yeah. And if you haven't watched it yet and you start watching, you go, oh, this is just fill in title. I guarantee you whatever you're going to say is probably going to be said in the show, because they point everything right back at themselves, even to the point where you would never. And I texted this to John earlier today. It's like my favorite line from anything so far, because this is a movie about like spies and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we're two guys in a van with a briefcase. We're the plot from Dumb and Dumber. Just like, and it's like, they're just totally making fun of themselves. They're literally making fun of that storyline. They're making fun of themselves as characters in this show. It's just, but then there's action. It's over the top, you know, just gratuitous fun. And that's, I'm like, I had a blast with it. So I'm really looking forward to every week. I don't know. How many episodes did you look, John?
Probably 8 or 9. That seems to be standard, but I didn't look.
All right. So, all right. Well, looking forward to week after week. And do you know what day it drops? I forget. Is it
Thursday? Friday? I think this was Friday. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Well, it says right on the screen, new episodes Thursday.
Thursdays. Yeah. I knew I saw that. I thought I saw that somewhere. So, yeah. Cool. All righty. Is that your last one?
Yeah.
That's your last one. Yeah. Okay, so Steve,
let's do let's journey back to late 1918.
There we go.
All Quiet on the Western Front. Okay, so 4K disc, Dolby Atmos, a Netflix movie on 4K disc. Yeah. The question about. Because this was, you and I, all three of us, talked about how good this looked and sounded on Netflix.
Right.
The question as to whether or how much better it would look on disc and sound on disc has been answered. And I'm very pleased to tell you, night and day.
Yeah.
It is way, way better on disc. Demonstrably better. Within seconds, you can see the difference on the disc. And well, and hear it too. So the movie's fantastic. So this is the second time I've seen it, having watched it on Netflix. And it's every bit as emotionally draining, as moving, as tough a watch as it should be. Second time around. So that's good. It looks staggeringly good, guys. Both of you have seen 1917.
Yes.
In
4K.
Get a podcast on it.
4K. Yep. Yeah, I've seen the disc. Yep.
Okay, and that's a great disc, isn't it? Looks amazing, sounds amazing, all the rest of it. This now is a perfect companion piece to it, because as good as 1917 looks, this looks as good, if not better, because this also has then all of those lovely nature establishing shots and the cinematography of this. The image is more stable. There is more detail. The colors look better. It is a significant improvement over Netflix, and Netflix was no slouch.
It was good.
No.
Yeah. This honestly is fantastic. That you can pick any shot throughout this movie, hit pause, and just marvel at it. It's fantastic. So that question is answered. Audio wise, I remember saying on the show when we talked about this, that I thought the bass could go deeper, that initially, at least, I thought that took some time to kind of bed in, because it got better as it went on. Mm. From minute one, you get proper bass on this. So right from the start, exactly as you wanted, there are, you know, you've got that sequence where the camera is kind of hovering over the trenches at the very beginning, and you can hear explosions going off, and they've got much more presence that feels like it's in the room. Whereas on the Netflix one, there was just that little bit lacking, that penetration was lacking. It's not Lucy. It's not going to shake stuff off the walls, you know, but it is properly what you'd want from a movie like this. So I was very, very pleased with this disc. You know, it's been a great week for 4K disc, because this is Silence of the Lambs. I mean, it's really, really good. So I
have a question for you, Steve.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Because the Netflix, you only got Atmos in the original German. Did you check the disc to see if Atmos carries throughout the other languages?
I did look, and from what I can recall, there's loads of languages on this, absolutely loads. I think it's the same. I think it's only the German that has the Atmos. I think the English, not that anybody should be watching in English. And I think that's DTS HD. It does default. You've got to be a bit careful, though, because when you, and I might as well say this to everyone, when the disc boots up, it comes up with a list of languages. So you've got English, German, everything else. So when you select, now I selected German because I thought, well, that must be.
No, yeah.
Right. But what happens then, if you select that, you get the German language.
For your titles.
Copyright cards. Yeah. Right. And it defaults to English. Bizarrely. Don't ask me why. So you've got to select English initially, and then it will play in German with German, with English subtitles. Be warned, though, guys, and Deej, you in particular, with your masking, the subtitles are over the black bars for most of the film. So just so you know, and I did put this out on Twitter, anybody that's got masking, you're going to need to keep the masking off, because otherwise you're going to miss the subtitles. And it's all the way through. It's not just initially. The whole thing is always over.
There's actually a setting I have on the Kaleidoscape.
Oh, yeah, you can push it up.
If it's not embedded in the film, right? So sometimes the subtitles are they move them up. The Kaleidoscape moves them into the frame for you.
Okay.
Kaleidoscape does that, and the Lumigen does it too. So it just does it. But if it's in a movie where it's just part of the movie, you can't move it because it's on the film. You know, there are some movies where it's
this, like, doesn't look to be like that. Yeah, this doesn't look to be like that. You can see, can't you, when it's
burning. Yeah. Because so you can change them, and they'll the Lumigen will pop it up for you. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, but you know, gents, it's well worth picking up.
Awesome.
It is in terms of its look, its demo, its audio, pretty close to demo material. My boss has been talking about this film for ages, and I am seriously considering inviting him and his wife around to just watch it on the, to them, it'll be the biggest screen they've ever seen. I mean, bear in mind that they're in their 70s. It'll just blow him away. So I'm very seriously considering doing that. And I lent the Blu-ray to my brother-in-law, who's only got a Blu-ray player and a normal size TV. Because it's his favorite book. So he, you know, I just said, right, you need to see this. Cool. So yeah, it's fantastic. Really, really good.
Awesome. Have to pick that up. It is on Amazon. I mean, it's still available. Yeah. We can.
I don't know if it's on Kaleidoscape. Presumably,
no, it's not. It's not yet.
It's a special edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So, all right, and I guess the last one that we have, it was mine, and then Steve jumped in, which is pretty cool. So, Steve has it on disc.
Yep.
I have it on disc as well. I also I had it. I was going to talk about, and I still will talk about the, the Blu-ray. I'm sorry. That's the 4K. I have to pull it up. I haven't pulled it up yet. So Steve, why don't you, that's the 4K menu. And I also have it on Kaleidoscape. That's Deep Impact. Nope.
Got it on Flickrbook. I've got
it. Yeah. I got it on this. I got it on that. But Semaphore. I have early impressions. I have this, that. Why don't you start off and see if I can narrow myself down? Because I liked it, but go ahead.
Okay. So, all right. Well, the movie then. So we talked last week about it briefly, didn't we? So this is the first of the two 1998 comet hitting Earth movies, or asteroid, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, this being Deep Impact, and then the other one is Armageddon. And interestingly, it's been a long time since I've seen this. And I, because it, I, had it come out on Blu-ray? Because if it had, I never got it. I had the DVD, which I long since got rid of. So I haven't seen this for a very long time indeed. And so I watched it yesterday and finished it off today because I got called out in the middle of the night. So I couldn't finish it off yesterday. I'm pleased to report the movie is still very good. And actually, I'd forgotten how emotional it actually can be. I'd forgotten that this is more of a drama than an action film, and actually quite significantly more than Armageddon. Yeah, I just had forgotten. I had forgotten.
It's, okay. See, now, let me jump in. I don't think I forgot. I think when this movie came out, I was too childish to know. Because I was going, and here's one of the things that I noticed about this. This is maybe the only disaster film that doesn't give you any disaster until the end.
Yeah.
They all start out with a decent, like a prelude, right? Like even Independence Day, it's like, well, they haven't, they start out with something. This one, and the entire title of this on this viewing changed for me. I'm like, this isn't about the thing hitting the earth. This is the impact it has on the individuals. And I'm like, wow, am I getting old? Because this was what, 98, right? Yeah. And I'd had a kid by then, which usually changes your perspective a little bit, but obviously I was still a child myself. And you don't, I was just looking at this like, oh, things go boom, you know, like, wow, big waves. That was it. And then watching it with this one, that's why I said my notes on this are insane. I'm just like, I was just like, this is crazy. But I'm glad you said that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I was struck by that. I really was. If you'd said to me, what happens in this film? And I'd have said, I mean, it's even on the cover there. You know, that actually doesn't happen in the film. Those asteroid comet thing, that's from Armageddon. That's how Armageddon begins. There is that does not happen in the film. You get the wave, but you never get those little comets hitting Earth. That does not happen.
No.
So if you'd said to me, what happens in this movie? I'd say, oh, there'll be sequences where, you know, that you've got the initial hit and then you'll get the other bit, you know, which is Armageddon.
Right.
This is absolutely a drama, and at times I think a very moving one. And again, a little bit of what would you do? You know, there are characters that give up their places for other people and sacrifice themselves, and characters that decide, I'm going to just let this happen. I'm not going to actually save myself. And so I was moved by it. I the film stands up. The effects are showing their age.
I suspect
this is where, because they've leaned on CGI here, whereas Armageddon used CGI and a lot of model work. And so Armageddon's effects stand up better. And I've seen it not that long ago on Blu-ray. So the effects are showing their age, but still all right. But it was a really enjoyable movie within its parameters. I thought it was really good. So in terms of the home cinema, I think this is, by the way, a character in this, of course, says, look on the bright side.
Yep. I know. Yep. Just like we had with The Core.
The Core. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing.
Funny. When I heard it, I was like, I was watching it with a.
Do you remember what she did, buddy? It was the same type of character. Same type. It was the female lead in the ship. And it was the same type of situation. Like, we're not going to make it. And it's like, she's like, do you remember what she said? Like, look on the bright side.
We'll all have high schools named after us.
Exactly. And I still remember that. I couldn't remember which movie it was, but I've always remembered that line. It's like, I heard it and I didn't grab it like I did the last time, but look on the bright side. I was like, there it is.
Well, my little viewing buddy is, I was watching it with him and he was like, so that was good. But I think this is a really solid looking disc within the parameters again of its age and everything else. It's another good solid Paramount release, and there are some really nice bits in here that look really good. Obviously the effect stuff is quite soft, not much you can do about that. But the some of the exterior shots, there is a beautiful shot of Tia Leone and oh, her mom, I can't think of the name. She's a very famous actress.
Yes.
They are stood in front of a, of the lake. What's the lake in front of the Capitol?
The reflection pond.
That what you said. That, yeah, there you go. Yeah, that'll be, yeah, it. Yeah. On reflection. I think that must be what, yeah, it is. Yeah. there is a beautiful shot of them stood in front of it and the water, yeah, seems to be moving behind them.
Yeah.
And that looks almost three dimensional. I was like struck by that. You know, it was really nice. So I think it's a really solid looking disc. The HDR is decent. You know, it's well resolved. Everything looks as good as you could reasonably expect. And I think it is a leap over what I imagine a Blu-ray would have looked like. I've seen the Blu-ray because I don't think there is one. It's certainly, yeah, better than the DVD from what I can recall. So that's the video. The audio is of its time. I think it's starting to sound a little dated, which is not its fault.
You want to hear my first note?
Yeah, go
my
on,
first
yeah,
note on sound. My first note. Yeah. It's a C flat, but no, my first note on sound is sound is basic. I said there's some ambient sounds, but this reminds me of a 5.1 sound after hearing years of ProLogic.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you know what I mean. And it was like, yeah, it was nice, and it was definitely 5.1. It was definitely, you know, I mean, your room. There was some nice that we. There's some scene at the end where you hear the comet fly over, yes, and it goes, yes, in front of you. Great bass, real nice vibrations. And then it, as the scene pans and you're looking at different characters on the road, it, the comet's going by you and you see it in the reflection on a window, on a car window, but it's behind you and you, yeah, hear it going left to right behind you. It's fantastic. But I think this note, my, what I'm noticing at the beginning, these are very early impressions. This is all before we even see Morgan Freeman. This is just my general feel of as we got into the movie. And it was because, like you said, it's a drama. I had the same thing. I'm like, it's a drama. It's not about the sights, the sounds, and the scenes. This is about the story. It's about the people. And I mean, there are sights, sounds, and scenes to behold, but it's not until later. And that's not the focus of the movie.
Yeah, it is quite front heavy. Ralph Potts said the same, to be fair. Ralph said it's quite a front heavy film. There is ambient noise behind you until the comet, but not. But I did have an interesting moment in it where I'm not very far into it. I was on my phone. Because I've seen it many times. This was yesterday. And as I said, I know the film. So I was on my phone looking at something for some reason. Might have been something on IMDb. Anyway, and suddenly the ship takes off, the launch.
Yeah.
And I was on my phone and suddenly the subs just went and the thing took off and I nearly dropped my phone.
No. That wasn't you. I have my note at 38:41, sudden launch. I wrote, wow, really nice sudden bass. It's like they literally cut away from another scene. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoosh. And you're like in your room, like, what the hell was that?
I nearly dropped my phone.
Yeah,
it was wow. You know, that comes from nowhere. Yeah, I thought it was great. So it's so much fun. I'm really glad I've got this in 4K. And John, it's well worth picking up. And I would, you know, definitely recommend it. You know, Paramount are, you know, doing all right at the moment. I like the way they're doing these. Who do we have to pray to get the Armageddon though? That's still my the one. And yet I feel stupid even as I say that because clearly. Again, we talked about the difference between a film and a movie.
Yeah.
This is a film, isn't it?
Right.
I would say. Whereas Armageddon's a movie.
So remember last week you were like, Armageddon's the better home theater experience, but which is the better all around? I don't know if it's like apples and oranges now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. You can't really compare them. And that must be why back in 98, I would have told you at that point, after I came out of Armageddon, that Deep Impact was better. And yet, since then, it's not Armageddon. But they are exactly that. Apples and oranges, completely different movies with a completely different intent. And that can only be why they were even put into production at the same time. Because otherwise, surely, if they were exactly the same and they were jingoistic, flag-waving movies, they probably wouldn't have both got to the production phase. But they are clearly very different movies. So I was especially really happy with this. Yeah, really glad to see it again. Yeah, so I recommend it.
Comparatively, I started out. I had this on Kaleidoscape last week, and the 4K disc came out today. So I started my comparison with the Blu-ray. And I was just like, well, okay. Everything I thought about everything being this or that, or it's basic. It's like, I mean, the Kaleidoscape version blows away the 1080p, you know, even the audio I thought was better. But then knowing the disc was coming out today, I ordered it, but I didn't think it would be here on time. So I got up and ran to the store and bought it this morning. And then of course I get home and of course Amazon's early today. So I'm like, donkeys. So I had it, so I was able to go through my scenes and be able to see any differences, or there weren't any. There, I mean, it's what you're seeing on the disc is what I'm getting on Kaleidoscape. It's that good. Even to the point, you know, and this is one of the things, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but when you do ABs and you got to go A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B, and then move on to the next scene. And then in the next scene, maybe go B, A, B, A, B, A, you know, because what happens is if, say, A is always disc and B is Kaleidoscape, just for reference, right? And you always lead with one, you'll always favor that one. Or maybe, no, I'm sorry, you'll favor the second one. Because when you do the second one, you're noticing something the second time you see the scene that you maybe probably didn't notice in the first one. But when you go back, that's when you're like, oh. And when you start going back and forth, especially when you go to another scene, you start preferring, like you don't, that's when you know these things are identical. It's not look at the difference. I didn't see that last time. Then you go, it's right there staring me in the face. I was just looking at something else on this scene, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how dead on these things are. And it looks that good. And it's, and obviously with the audio and stuff and I love doing that. I'm like, and sometimes there is a difference, but it's so minuscule that you'll be like, it's really not worth mentioning, but I did hear it or I saw it or whatever. But that's the diff when people say there's no difference between streaming and physical, like, whoa, now that's not even close.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought, going from the HD version, everything kind of looked flat and it wasn't as nice, but the 4K version, it was more, believe it or not, more vibrant. When you get this disc, if you haven't seen it in a while, your early impressions are probably going to be like mine. Like, there's really not a lot here. Let the movie play out. You're going to love it. You're going to get those, when those comets go by and you get those bright lights and everything, and when they explode, they're going to come at you. Those are nice. But like you said, Steve, it's the special effects, a little bit like Air Force One, way, way outdated. Watching those comets fly through the sky, that was tough. Could have used
the water coming over the mountains. Water over the mountains just looks like it's a cartoon, you know. It's like,
yes, ugh. Yeah. You can, if you look closely, you can see the Roadrunner right in front of it. The Wile E. Coyote on a surfboard. That's it.
You can tell the shots that were from the trailer because they're the ones that look like they've been properly finished. And then you've got other shots that are like, maybe another few weeks could have been spent on that.
We still have this one. You want to put it in?
Bear in mind, of course, there would have been a rush to get this out first before Armageddon, which was out 4th of July, something like that. It was a height of summer. This came out around about this time of year, actually, hence the 25th anniversary or whatever it is. So 25th. Yeah. So there must have been a rush job on some of the effects, I suspect. But it's still great. And it's definitely worth having. There's guys in the chat saying, you know, seen it once, that was enough. I would revisit it, fellas. If you haven't seen it since 1998, give it another go. You might surprise yourself because we've all matured in that time. And it is a story about loss, and it's about family, and it's about facing your own mortality.
Decisions and everything. Yeah. It's deep impact. Don't think of the comet. It's not.
Yeah, well, comet's almost incidental, isn't it?
Yeah.
It could be anything that's coming to be, you know, it could be about terminal illness. It could be about anything like that. That means you've got to face your own mortality and the impact that has on others around you. And it's really, really worth seeing. I thought it was great. Yeah. Really good. So very happy that I've seen that again.
Yep. Great. Wow. Look at that. All right. So we agreed on that, Steve. At least we found some common ground. Finally. It took us years.
Just because it's not so much as with John and I, because obviously
That's why I brought you guys in. I'm a bunch of yes men. So that's it. Coming up next, because I know Steve's got to get going. He went over, but that movie was worth it. Coming up next week, I happen to have these handy. Look at John.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Really interested to see what your thoughts are.
I started it. I'm about halfway through it. I can't wait to get back to it. Dungeons and Dragons. That's the title page as it comes across the screen. I grabbed that. I thought it looked fantastic on the screen too. Yeah. But it's wow. I thought, you know, halfway through I'm enjoying the story. Didn't think I would. But the 4K, the Atmos is awesome. Yeah. It dropped this morning on Kaleidoscape. Oh, so awesome. I was able to get
Yeah. Let me know when you're done. Yeah. I mean, we can,
well, I pre-ordered it on your word I got up this morning and I was like, hey, it's there. All right. So really cool. So I'll be talking about this one next week. So Dungeons and Dragons,
awesome.
Honor Among Thieves. So, all right. That will do it. Coming up on Tuesday, I have my chat with, Johnny Speakers and Mikey Schramm, and they went to Expona together. They're going to start their own podcast. I'm telling you, I think I was their first guest. That's right. How we start the podcast. They're crazy. They're having a blast. They're HT. I mean, two is better than one, and they're two together now, and they're just traveling all over their region, awesome. taking in home theaters and shows and all sorts of fun stuff. So it was really fun chatting with. I'm glad they let me chat with them. Like, what the hell?
And when
you're a guest on your own show, like the
exactly, which was fantastic. It's fantastic. That's what I want.
And you accuse me of being lured away to other podcasts, Deej. What the hell?
I don't mind if listeners go and start their own podcast, right, and then. But I mean, I didn't make you anything. I asked you if you wanted to be a host, and I know I'm going to lose you. You're too good, Steve. You're too good for me.
Not at all.
I said that
he's
day
one. Saying that to me.
I know you.
He's not worried about me going anywhere.
Do you think I'm too good for you? John, do you think I'm too good for you?
No.
Okay, then. We don't have that British accent, John.
No, that's what it is.
No one's going to take us.
We're not sophisticated.
Not at all. I can't even spell sophisticated. All right. On that note, on that bombshell. All right. What do we got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Thanks for pointing.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.